All glories to the assembled devotee. All glories, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shripadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Shivadi Bhaktivedanda Swamini Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshadharini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Samsara Sagare Magnam Dinam Mam Karunanidhe Karma Graha Grihidangam Mam Uddharabhavar Navad Srimad Bhagavadakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishnamevahi Svigrado Simayanadha Muktyartam Bhava Sagare Manurade Madiyoyam Sabhala Sarvadatvaya Nurvigbhene Ivakartavyam Dasoham Tavakeshava Bhave Bhave Yadha Bhakti Padayor Savajayade Tadha Kurushva Devesha Nathastam Noyada Prabho Namasam Girtanam Yasya Sarvababa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanam Tam Namami Harim Param Janmadhya Sayado Nvayadi Daradas Charteshwa Vidnyas Swarad Tene Brahma Hradaya Adigavaye Muhyandiyat Suraya Arimadam Yathavinimayo Yatratri Sargo Omrasha Damna Svena Sada Nirasta Kuhagam Satyam Param Dhimahi Dharma Projida Gaida Votra Paramo Nurmat Saranam Sadam Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tabatrayon Mulanam Sriman Bhagavade Mahamuni Krude Kimvavarairi Shvara Sadyo Hridya Varudya Detra Krudibi Shushrushubi Talchanal Nigamakalpadar Orgalidam Phalam Shukamukhad Amrdadravasam Yudam Pipada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasiga Bhuvi Bhavuka Sachidananda Rupayam Ishol Patyadi Hedave Tabatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Numa Yam Prabrajandam Rupedam Abeda Kratyam Dvaivayanu Virahakadaram Ajuhava Putredi Tanmaitayataravo Bhinidu Tam Sarvabhudakhdayam Vinimanatosmi Iswanu Bhava Makhila Shruti Saramegam Adhyalpa Deepa Madhiti Tirshadam Tamondham Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guhyam Tam Vyasa Sunum Ubaya Viguram Muninam Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayen Kamaniya Kishora Mugdha Murte Kalavenu Kunidadra Dana Nendoho Mama Vaji Vijrambada Murare Madhurim Nakanikabi Kabi Kabi Nama Om Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanda Swaminidinamini Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Pracharini Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshadarini Srimal Guru Charanara Vindabhyam Nama Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishtasham Yasam Harigadodgidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Gopi Charanaravinda Paramanave Nama Pitambaram Karavirajita Chakrashankam Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayam Adisundaram Andahasam Vadalaya Shamanisham Kritibhavayami Komalam Kujayan Venum Shamalavayam Kumaraka Vedavedya Param Brahma Vasadam Purado Mama Mugam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lankayade Girim Yalkrubatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishnaya Nama Srimad Radhikaya Nama Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda So yesterday in that chapter, the chapter 20th, Krishna spoke about a devotee in the 34th verse. Na kinjit sadhavo dhiro dhira bhakta ekandino mama vanchantapi mayadattam kaivalyam abunarbhavam. So normally when we read that verse about great devotees, great means the highest rate, highest class of devotees, Krishna saying they do not looking, they are not even looking for liberation, or they want, and they are not concerned about rebirth, and birth and death is concerned, it is not an issue for them. Krishna says like that. In what context Krishna has spoken that is that a person who has been released from the body, for him birth and death is not anymore a reality, isn't it? Old age, birth, death, disease, these things does not apply to him anymore. So therefore this liberation, like most of the people have this understanding, liberation is something after death. And keeping with that, in that context, we start thinking that, oh, he says he doesn't want liberation. Why is it like that? Krishna is saying is that as far as he is concerned, he has already realized it, that there is no such thing called death. And there is no such thing called birth either. There is no such thing called a liberation. There is no such thing called a bondage either. If that realization has happened, then there is no question of desiring for liberation, isn't it? It is, that is why he say, Krishna says here that all these things, na kinjit sadhavo dhira bhakta ekandino mama vanchantyapi mayadattam kaivalyam abunarbhavam. Kaivalyam abunarbhavam. In the Mandukyam Kariga also, it mentions like this, that na niteyo, na ulpatti, na baddho, na cha sadaha, na mokshuhu, ityesham, na vai muktaha, paramarthataha. In other words, that it says, na ulpatti, na baddho, na cha sadaha. There is no person who is executing sadhana. There is no person who is in bondage. In the liberated state, we see all these conditions doesn't apply anymore. In other words, once you have broken your connection with the body, once you have internally broken that connection with the body, then there is no sadhana, there is no bondage, there is no liberation, there is no birth, there is no death. So, can you give him anything anymore after that? What will he receive? What is there for him to achieve in this world? That is why in the next verse what Krishna is saying, nairapeksham param prahur nishreyasam analpakam tasma nirashisho bhaktir nirapekshasyame bhaved. That is why that verse. See, in the 34th verse Krishna spoke about that devotee who has reached that stage. Now, in this chapter, Krishna spoke about the three yoga system, isn't it? Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti. And finally, Krishna says, the glorifies Bhakti, saying that a devotee who has reached a very higher level, for him, he is called Ekanta Bhakti. Ekanta Bhakti Nam. Ekandino Mama. Bhaktiya Dhira Bhakta Ekandino Mama. Ekanta Bhakti. One who has reached the very highest state, for him, he does no desire and he is not concerned about rebirth, bondage, liberation, none of them. The reason for that is nairabeksham param brahur nishreyasam amanalpakam tasmal nirashisho bhaktir nirabakshasyame bhaved. That because he has no desire, that is that state, nairabeksham. Nairabeksham means he has no apeksha, or there is no desire in him. Therefore, Krishna says here that because of that, I cannot do anything with him. He has come reached such a state that he doesn't want anything. So what am I supposed to do? Krishna says, Nairapeksham param prahur nishreyasam analpakam tasmal nirashisho bhaktir nirapekshasyam e bhaved. So actually, Krishna is frightened about a devotee who doesn't ask anything. Who doesn't ask us anything. Because as soon as you ask something from someone, you have actually become his slave. You have become his slave. Krishna says here that I'm not asking, he is not asking anything. That is the problem. Because he has realized the truth so well, therefore he has left everything, doesn't want anything. And let him be in any way. And one who has properly understood this life, who has analyzed this life and properly understood that, and who has realized that there is nothing happening here in this world, and for him, whether he is here or he is somewhere else, it doesn't matter. And he is not attached to anything here because he knew that none of this is actually means anything. None of the, that means practically he is completely released from Maya. When we are under the influence of Maya, we have a lot of responsibility here. We have a lot of commitments here. And we think that we have a lot of things to do here. But Krishna's point is that one who has come, and that's all happening due to our desires inside, which is vasanas and desires in a very subtle level, is operating within us. Therefore, we feel we have all these responsibilities, commitments, and problems, and all sorts of things. Krishna says here that a devotee who has reached that stage that he does not want anything and he has no desires inside, he doesn't think there is anything important to be done here either. Or he doesn't want anything to do with this world. He just, wherever Krishna has put him, he is satisfied and he stays in that state all the time. For him, it doesn't matter. And that is the nature of that vairagyam, proper vairagyam. That vairagyam, that renunciation has come from inside. And therefore, because he is so detached from the world, that he doesn't get attracted by anything. Nothing can actually destroy his peace inside. So illusion has gone from inside. For him, big and small and something human and superhuman nature, all of those things have left him. And Krishna says that is the position of an emperor. Position of an emperor. And even great kings and great personalities cannot go over him, Krishna says. That is the way it is, that many, many great devotees and yanis, after realization you can see, they have no desire inside, they have no connection with this world, everything has gone away. We mentioned this before also, the story of Patanatha Swamiji, that he was a very, very wealthy person. But, and when he was a big businessman, he had so much money. He did business with the jewels and pearls and things like that. A very wealthy businessman. And when he was very, very wealthy, naturally his connection with the king was very good at that time. He used to present the king with very expensive jewels and ornaments and things like that. And the king used to honor him. When he used to go and visit the king, he used to stand up in front of the king. King used to sit on the throne and he used to present very expensive presents to him, to the king. And one day when Vairagyam came to him, which I have spoken before many times, that he threw away everything and walked out of the house. His manager asked him, "What should I do with all this wealth?" He said, "You can throw it on the street. I don't need anything." Saying that, he ran away from, he left the home and took a bowl, begging bowl, and went and sat in one of the entrance gate of the temples in Chidambaram. So he sat there and people started saying that he has gone crazy. What has happened to him? That is why he's here. So much wealth, he threw it away and simply wearing a kaupinam. And he sat there and many people came to see him. But he was not giving attention to anybody. Because why? Inside that detachment had come to this world. Finally, the king came to know about this. So though he king himself came to see him. When he came to see him, he asked Patanatha Swamiji that why have you done all these things? His reply was like this. He said, before this incident happened, I came to see you and you used to sit on the throne. I used to stand up in front of you. But now you have come to see me and I am sitting and you are standing. That's the difference, he said. In other words, one who has properly got released from this Maya illusion, he can see the power of Maya. He can see the power of Maya. Under the influence of Maya, we think so many things here important. So many people we consider big, so many people bad. We have all our ragam, dvesham towards other living entities and objects. And we have so many responsibilities here, kartatvam and bhoktratvam, and so many ways we are within this influence of Maya. Krishna is saying here, a one who has come to this stage, the first class devotee, who has been released from Maya, his situation is like this. What is that? Nairabeksham param prahur nishreyasam analpagam tasmal nirashisho bhaktir nirabekshasyame bhaved. Krishna says that proper bhakti comes to a person who doesn't ask anything from me and who has no desire in him. So that is nairabeksham param analpagam nishrayasam prahu. And not desiring anything is the greatest quality, Krishna says. Is the highest achievement. Not desiring anything. And tasmat me bhakti nirashisha nirabekshasya bhaved. Only then that bhakti will become nirabeksham. Krishna mentions this, isn't it? Krishna is frightened of those devotees, practically, who doesn't ask anything. This nirabeksham. Nirabeksham unim shandam nirvayam samadarshinam. Anuprajamyaham nityam puyaye tyankri renubhi. Krishna says, those devotees, I am always fearful of them because I don't know what to do with them. They never ask anything. What can I do? Krishna says. So, as long as there is desire, one who has lost all desires, he is the emperor. And if you have any desires, you are always a slave of something. So, therefore, Krishna says, one who doesn't want anything, such a person, he is situated on the highest platform. Highest, analpagam, nishrayasam. And Krishna says there, analpagam, nishrayasam, bhumav. In other words, he is present in everything. And then, nairabekshyam, he doesn't want anything. That is what he says. If it is like that, who will look after the body? That question will come, isn't it? Who will look after the body? Because he says here that who will look after the body? Nairaveksham param prahur nishrayasamanal pagam tasmal nirashisho bhaktir nirabekshasyame bhaved. Because such a person, his body, Krishna has to look after. And one who doesn't ask for anything, so only in such a person, this kind of bhakti will develop. Krishna says like this. Tasmat ekantino bhaktaha. And that is why in the next verse you will see there. Namai ekanta bhaktanam gunadoshad bhava gunaha. Sadhunam samachittanam buddhe paramubeyusham. Sadhunam samachittanam buddhehe. These sadhu, these great souls, they have no ragadvesham inside, attachment or aversion. Therefore, they are always very peaceful inside. And they have guna doshod bhava guna, sadhuna samajitana buddhe paramubayusham. What is the other qualification they have? The other qualification is they have gone beyond the intelligence. They are not operating in this world with their intelligence anymore. Krishna says like that. He says here that they have reached Krishna. They have crossed beyond the intelligence and they have reached Krishna. So none of them, because when you have the mind and the body intelligence operating, then you have all the concerns about this world. Krishna says that these great devotees, for them good and bad, right and wrong, and the thoughts about that, all of them, does not disturb them. Or they don't think this is good and this is bad. Or they don't say that I want this, I don't want that. They will never say all that things because they are always samachittaha. Samachitta means balance in their mind. And they have gone beyond the intelligence. They have gone beyond the intelligence. Buddhehe parameyusham. Because who says this is good and this is bad? This is right and this is wrong? Intelligence says that, isn't it? Intelligence says to us, this is good, this is bad. This is right, this is wrong. All these ideas coming from where? Coming from the intelligence. And these personalities, Krishna says, they have gone beyond the intelligence and beyond the mind. It is in this state, Krishna mentions in the last chapter, remember, that gunam dosham. Both are there in the Vedam, but finally one has to, guna doshas tubhayam, that one should upaya varjina. Gunam, to think that guna dosham itself is bad. Krishna says to think that something is right and wrong or something is good and bad itself is bad. And then he says the right thing is to transcend, not to think in terms of good and bad or right or wrong, or rather transcend that. So when you transcend intelligence, that is when this happens. That is what Krishna is saying here. So these personalities, namai eganda bhaktanam gunadoshod bhava gunam, because that is what Krishna mentioned before. Sadhunam samachitanam buddhe paramubeyusham. Buddhe paramubeyusham. They have already crossed that stage. Therefore, for them, there is no right and wrong, there is no good and bad. Nothing works for them. So, they have switched off their intelligence. Therefore, they have crossed intelligence. Krishna is saying like that. Krishna is explaining, because in the last chapter, remember, Uddhava asked that question, isn't it? Uddhava asked the question in the end of 19th chapter. Last verse, Krishna says to Uddhava, Eda Uddhavade Prasna Sarva Eva Nirupidaha Kim Varnidena Bahuna Lakshanam Gunadosha Yoho Gunadosha Drashir Dosho Gunastu Ubhaya Varjida. In the last chapter, the last verse, chapter 19th, last verse. There, Krishna told him that this Gunam Dosham itself is Dosham. To say that something is good and bad itself is bad. And then to see things in that way is bad. Then he says, gunastu ubhaya varjita. The right thing is to give up both, right and wrong. When Krishna said that, Uddhava could not get the principle behind that. Why Krishna said like that? Vedam, which says about gunam dosham, so many things. And that Vedam is saying, Krishna is saying, and Vedam is Krishna, comes from Krishna. And Krishna is saying like this at the end. So that is confused Uddhava. Uddhava asked the question in the first five verses and said, Gunadosha Vishadrishtir Nagamate Nahiswada Nagamino Abhavadascha Vidaya Vidiha Brahma. I am confused, Krishna, Uddhava says to Krishna. When Uddhava said to Krishna that I am confused, Krishna says to Uddhava that instead of answering the question straight away, Krishna started talking about three yoga systems. Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti. And that is what Krishna has spoken throughout the chapter of that 20th chapter. It's all about these three yoga systems. And finally, Krishna says that out of these three process of yoga system, Bhakti has a very higher position, Krishna says. Bhakti has a very higher position. And although Bhakti may appear very simple, but to be a first-class devotee is not so easy. Krishna says, because that devotee has no desire inside, not even thinking about liberation or freedom from birth and death and any of those things. And he talked about that devotee, the nature of that devotee is sadhunam samachitanam. He is always in the very peaceful state inside. That is his nature. It's not coming from the ego. It's coming due to the shanti inside, shanti of the soul, peace of the soul. That is what Krishna is saying there. Because it is like that, Krishna says he does not ask anything, and therefore I can't do anything with him. He has reached such a high state of bhakti that he will not ask anything, and he doesn't want anything, but he is always in a happy state. Whatever I have given him, he is totally satisfied with that. Nairabeksham parambrahur nishrayasam analpagam tasmal nirashisho bhaktir nirabekshasyame bhaved. Nirabeksham, that is his greatest quality. Nirabeksham. Nirabeksham means no desire, never asking anything. And then Krishna says, such a great personality, is a great personality, he says, he has transcended good and bad. What he spoke in the 19th chapter. So he is giving, Krishna is talking about that devotee who has crossed over guna dosho bhavo guna sadhunam samachittanam buddhe paramupayusham. His mind is always in a shanti state, samachittada, equal vision to everybody in this world. He has reached that state, samachittanam, samachittada. Samachittada means he does not discriminate between good and bad, right and wrong, friend and enemy. All this dvandvam, duality has gone from him. He sees everyone on an equal level, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Vidya vinaya sampanne, brahmane, gevi, hastini, shuni chaiva shubhageja, pandita samadarshina. That samadarshitvam has come to him. And sadhunas, and not only that, he has transcended intelligence. Buddhe paramupayusham. Because buddhi decides all these things, isn't it? Buddhi tells us this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, he is my friend, he is my enemy. On some reason, on some analysis, buddhi makes all these decisions. Krishna says he has crossed beyond intelligence. He doesn't consult, he has switched his intelligence off. And that is how he is operating in this world. Krishna says like that. So, with that, more or less, Krishna has completed that chapter and finally concludes, evam etan maya adishtan anutishtanti me pathaha kshemam vindanti malsthanam yad brahma paramam vidu. Evam etan maya adishtan anutishtanti me pathaha kshemam vindanti malsthanam yad brahma paramam vidu. Krishna says, these processes, what I have spoken in this chapter, which one? The 20th chapter. One who follows them, in due course, what will happen to him? He gets released from the time, he gets released from Maya, and he reaches me. He realizes the truth. And in other words, Krishna says that he has been freed from this body once for all. Once for all, he is freed from the body. So one who follows these instructions of Krishna in the last chapter and carefully takes notice of all that, and who lives in this world giving importance to all these things, he will achieve the fulfillment in his life. What Upanishads calls it as Brahman, and that nature of the Brahman, qualities of the Brahman, he will achieve that right here in this world itself. He reaches that state, Krishna says. Not after death, right here itself. While within this body, that perfection or fulfillment comes to him. He becomes Brahman. He becomes Brahman. At that point, Brahman and him, that person is not separate. Is not separate. This is where Purusha, Ishvara and Jiva, all these differences goes away from him. All these differences goes away from him. He has become the complete. He has become the complete. Brahman, in other words. And in this way, Krishna concluded that chapter. Krishna concluded that chapter. So, we have this 20th chapter, what we have looked at. What did Krishna say like this? Krishna asked, Uddhava asked a question, isn't it? And Uddhava's questions were very much genuine questions. Everybody will ask that question. In the Vedic philosophy or Srimad Bhagavata philosophy, Uddhava's questions, if you look, it is very much similar to others' questions, because it's natural these questions will come. For example, in Vedam also, like in all other religions, in every religion, there are so many injunctions, isn't it? You should do this, you shouldn't do that. You should do this, you shouldn't. This is called Vidhi Nishedam. Vidhi Nishedam. That means do's and don'ts. Certain things you should do, certain things you shouldn't do. Both are spoken, like a sort of injunctions or instructions to the followers of that particular religious process. This exists in every religion, whether it is Christianity, Islam, Judaism, or any other, Jainism, Buddhism, everywhere you will find these instructions. And similarly in Sanatana Dharmam also, in Vedam also, the same thing exists. Instructions exist in the Vedam to what you should do, what you shouldn't do. But in the last chapter, Krishna spoke about the three yoga systems and talked about the subject which is beyond the do's and don'ts. Is it not? The do's and don'ts are there in every religion. But what Krishna has spoken in the last chapter is things beyond the do's and don'ts. And Krishna said, how important is this Vidhi Nishedam or do's and don'ts? This do's and don'ts is a big problem, isn't it? Why it's a problem? Because these do's and don'ts will change from place to place. Based on time, it can change. Time, people, the place, one rule in one place will change in another place. And you may wonder, these rules are not permanent, and they tend to vary from place to place, from one community to another community, one people to one group of people to another group of people. So that is why it is a little bit confusing to people. Generally, when we take to religion or religious process, first thing we learn is the do's and don'ts, isn't it? Like when you come to Krishna consciousness, what's the first thing we learn? Four regulative principles. We like it, do's and don'ts, isn't it? And once you are told, these are the four rules and regulations. So these rules and regulations is attraction for everybody. And in every religion it exists. Whether you have the Ten Commandments in Christianity, and similarly in Islam also there are so many things, isn't it? So these do's and don'ts are there in every religion, and it is there in the Vedam also. But Krishna is saying to us that Uddhava's question was that in Vedam, after giving so many, and Vedam has got more than any other religion as far as do's and don'ts are concerned, a lot more than others. It ties you down so strongly in life that it is very difficult to move this way or that way. You got to live in that code so strongly, otherwise you are in trouble. So, about karma is concerned, about your daily life, day-to-day life is concerned, everything, Vedam has put a very strong boundary for everybody. After doing all that, finally, Vedam says, throw away everything and come out of it. The same Vedam who has put all these regulations is saying to us finally to throw it away, everything. And that is confused Uddhava. And Uddhava asked that question. And Krishna is saying, this do's and don'ts itself is a problem. Do's and don'ts itself is a problem, because what does do's and don'ts do? Do's and don'ts is creating this do's and don'ts, what is vidhinishedam. What it does is gunam dosham it creates. Guna dosha drashir dosham. Gunastu ubhaya varjita. Krishna said very briefly in the 19th chapter. This seeing good and bad, because vidhinishedam creates that. Vidhi and nishedam creates that feeling inside us, that this is good, this is bad. It comes in a subtle level in us, isn't it? This is good, this is bad. Krishna is saying, seeing good and bad itself is bad. Rather, not seeing good and bad is good. That's how Krishna closed that chapter, 19th chapter. Uddhava asked a question, it's very confusing to me. So many things. One way you are instructing, in one time you are instructing that all good do's and don'ts, and then you are saying remove all that, and itself is bad, and so many things. So then, instead of answering that question straight away, Krishna says, there's only three yoga systems I've spoken. Jnanam, Karma and Bhakti. He analyzed all the three yoga systems and he said, based on your qualification, you go into the process. And that qualification is decided at some later date in life, not in the beginning. Initially, everyone has to follow all the three yoga systems. And then from inside, Antaryami has to dictate to you which is the right path for you. He will decide that, because he says, if you are serious about spiritual life, I am there inside and I will guide you, guide that person throughout. Saying that, Krishna concluded. And finally, Krishna also said, although these three processes do exist, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, that devotee, you will see in the Bhagavatam, Ekadashaskandam, everything. Krishna will say so many things. He will bring it down finally and tie it down to bhakti. And he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, there is nobody higher than a devotee. Now when you say it's like that, you shouldn't think that Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying, Jnani is my best devotee. In other words, it is at this stage, Jnanam, Karmam, Bhakti and all has gone. It's gone beyond all these things. This is all in the middle, all these things coming and going. So that person who has developed pure love for Krishna, he is in the highest knowledge as well as has got the greatest devotion in him. So Krishna is saying that devotee in that stage is, Krishna calls him as a devotee, that person has no desires inside. That is his greatest quality. He has no desires. And not only that, how will he live in this world? He is not bothered. He says this body is Krishna's body. Krishna can do whatever he wants with it. That sort of surrender inside has happened to him. He is so surrendered, there is not even a trace of false ego inside. And plus, he has no desire inside, any kind of desire, neither material nor spiritual. No material desire, that is of course necessary, but not spiritual desire either, in the sense that he is not even talking about liberation or freedom from cycle of birth or death or anything like that. That means he has come to that level that Maya cannot touch him anymore. These are all products of Maya. Desires means Maya is there, that's what it is. So Krishna has proved to Arjuna Uddhava that devotee who has no desires, who does not talk about liberation or bondage, does not talk about birth or death, he is very, very dear to me. Krishna says, and I have no choice except to listen to him. I have no choice, Krishna says. And whatever he does, it's approved by me. That's what the right thing. In that way, glorifying the devotee in a very higher level, Krishna closed that chapter, the 20th chapter. And he mentioned there that devotee, he has crossed over this problem of good and bad. Good and bad problem doesn't exist in him anymore, because he has gone beyond all these things. Not only has transcended the mind, he has even transcended the intelligence. Why did Krishna say intelligence? Because intelligence is the thing that causes this good and bad in everything, isn't it? Intelligence, everything. This chapter, and after saying all these things, Krishna says, that person is Brahmam. He has become Brahmam. He is not different from Brahmam. He is Brahmam itself, saying that Krishna has concluded that chapter. So when it came to the next chapter, in the last chapter, Krishna said, that one important thing that you shouldn't forget. What was that? Nirdeham adyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam മയാനുകൂലേന നഭസ്വദേരിതം പുമാൻ ഭവാബ്ദിം ന തരേത് സ ആത്മഹ. കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ്, ഐ ഹാവ് ഗിവൺ എ ഹ്യൂമൻ ബോഡി ടു എ ടു യു ടു എനി വൺ സുലഭം സുദുർലഭം ആൻഡ് കം ഇറ്റ്സ് എ വെരി വെരി റയർ തിങ് പ്ലവം ഇറ്റ്സ് എ ബോട്ട് ഫോർ ക്രോസിംഗ് ദിസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ്. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ ബോട്ട് ഫോർ ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് ബോഡി സുകൽപ്പം. ഇറ്റ്സ് വെൽ മെയ്ഡ് ഫോർ ഇറ്റ് വിൽ ഡു ദ ജോബ്. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് കേപ്പബിൾ ഓഫ് ഗെറ്റിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ഡൺ. പ്ലവം സുകൽപ്പം ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഗുരു കർണധാരം. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ദെയർ ആസ് എ സ്പിരിച്വൽ മാസ്റ്റർ ടു ഇൻജെക്ട് ദാറ്റ് നോളജ് ത്രൂ ദ ഇയേഴ്സ് ടു അസ്. ദെൻ മയാനുകൂലേന നഭസ്വദേരിതം. ഐ എം ഫേവറബിൾ ടു ദാറ്റ് ഡിവോട്ടി ഹു വാണ്ട്സ് ടു അഡ്വാൻസ് ഇൻ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ്, ഹു ഹാസ് കം ടു സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ് ആൻഡ് ഹു വാണ്ട്സ് ടു പ്രോഗ്രസ്. ഐ വിൽ ഓൾവേസ് ബി ഫേവറബിൾ. I'll create the life favorable for him in such a way that mayanukule, the wind, what is necessary for the boat to move through the ocean, that wind is my grace, my kripa. Krishna says, I will be with him all the time. Puman, and after giving all these things to him, if he is not utilizing the life for self-realization and to get himself from the, to reach this state, what Krishna has spoken, freedom from the cycle of birth and death, such a person, Krishna says, he has committed suicide. He has lost his purpose of life, in other words. That is how Krishna has concluded about that, isn't it? So this was the main instruction in that chapter. Three yoga systems. And for that purpose, Krishna spoke the three yoga systems also. And again, Krishna is saying here, Uddhava asked the question. And these questions, what Uddhava has asked, is everybody asked, I will ask the same question. If you are carefully listening to Bhagavad Gita and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you will ask the same questions. And that is where this important thing comes. That Krishna's point is that in every religion there is this vidhi and nishedam, do's and don'ts. And similarly in the Vedam also. Vedam has a lot more vidhi nishedam. It is this manusmriti and all that is vidhi nishedam, isn't it? Manusmriti. And so many other smriti, all the smriti is all lot of vijinishedam, it is vijinishedam. So then Krishna spoke about the topic beyond vijinishedam, beyond the do's and don'ts. That's why nistray gunne pati vicharada kovidha ko vidhi ko nishedha. One who has transcended these three modes of material nature, for him what vidhi, what nishedam, Krishna is saying. Vidhi and Nishedam is within Maya. If you have freed yourself from the Maya, then what Vidhi, what Nishedam for that person? That is the important thing. That all these rules and regulations is everything within Maya only. If you are released from Maya, or in other words, there is no more modes of nature operating in you, then where is the question of Vidhi and Nishedam? That is Krishna's point. Arjuna also, Krishna said the same thing to Arjuna. Nistray gunyo bhavarjuna. Go beyond the three modes, he said to him. Isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, you can see Krishna saying to Arjuna, Nistray gunyo bhavarjuna. Similarly here also, Nistray gunye pathimicharada ko vidhi ko nishedaha. That one who has gone beyond these three gunam, three modes of material nature or maya, for him, what vidhi, what nishedham? What is vidhi and what vidhi? So in other words, once you moved beyond the three modes of material nature, for him vidhi and nishedam or do's and don'ts don't apply. Now you see the difference. In Vedam and Vedic literature is the only literature in this world which brings Maya in. Other religions never talks about Maya, do they? They always gives you the do's and don'ts and then they leave you there. But in Vedic literature, they not only talk about do's and don'ts, finally they get you out of do's and don'ts and says to us that these rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, is only within the circle of Maya. Only while you are within the Maya, all these do's and don'ts apply. Till Maya holds you in her control, you got to follow the do's and don'ts. But once you are free from Maya, in other words, three modes of material nature, then you have released from the rules of this world. Nothing is there to bind you. Now, when this question came up, when Krishna spoke about this, because Atma, soul, is never bound by anything. That is the nature of Atma. Vidhi and Nishedam does not apply to Atma. Is it not? What Atma is consciousness. What rules and regulations can you apply to consciousness? How can you bind consciousness with your so-called rules and regulations? This should open up our eyes a little bit. Sometimes, our life in this world, when we become little too religious, what happens is, we become too serious about the rules and regulations. That is not spiritual. Sometimes you will see some people become, we call them fanatic, isn't it? Fanatic's nature. This fanaticism, where does it come from? Lack of knowledge, ajnanam it is. Because rules and regulations will change from place to place, from one group of people to another group of people. And based on the time it can change, weather conditions it can change. Today you may be following certain rules and regulations in your life. You can't have that rules and regulations any other place. So to start thinking that this is the whole truth, what I am doing now, and I will hold on to it under any circumstances, shows that you are not understood the principle of, because Atma Tattvam, always the focus should be on the soul, on Atma, not on Vidhinishedam. Vidhinishedam is there to bring certain discipline. Krishna mentions that in the last chapter in life. So when he talked about Atma, and when Krishna spoke about Atma and the role or position of a devotee who has gone beyond all these things, Uddhava is asking, in this case of this Vidhi and Nishedam, if it is not there, how human being will behave in this world? This is also another side to it. Suppose there is no Vidhi Nishedam, then everybody will do what they like. That is another side of it, isn't it? Suppose there is no rules and regulations, what will happen? We will make our own rules and regulations. That is the problem. That is what Uddhava is saying. And if there is no rules and regulations, how there will be chitta shuddhi? How will one purify oneself? And how he will control his senses? These are the questions, Uddhava's questions, which is very right question, isn't it? So the question of Vidhi Nishedam and Chitta Shuddhi, Indriya Nigraham, that means that do's and don'ts, and similarly purification inside and control of the senses. Because if you have no rules and regulations, you won't control your life, you won't live a disciplined life. Everybody will do what they like, isn't it? So therefore, rules and regulations are necessary in life to keep us in a disciplined state. And the advantage of rules and regulations, Krishna has said, that chitta shuddhi will happen. You will purify your subtle body. And little by little, we lose our desires. It is on this basis that varnashram dharmam has been created for this purpose. That somehow or the other, keep everyone under certain control. Whether he is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, it doesn't matter. Keep everybody under certain rules and regulations so that they don't go uncontrolled, doing all sorts of nonsense in this world. You can see wherever there is no Varnashrama Dharma, people act in that way, isn't it? They'll do what they like, and that's at all acceptable. Everything is acceptable in that society. So Krishna's point is that, you know, Uddhava also asking the right question, that if there is no Vidhi Nishedam, what will happen? That society will not be very peaceful. It will all do all sorts of things and cause problems. Not only that, he will not have any purification inside. Bhakti will not be there. They will not develop bhakti because of that. There will be no purification. There is no control of the senses. And because it is like that, because purification is not there and control of the sense is not there, therefore bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, none of them will develop in a person. It is for that purpose that Vidhi and Nishedam is in there in the spiritual life. So initially, if there is no rules and regulations, for such a person, ultimate goal is not possible, to achieve is not possible. So therefore, Krishna is going to discuss in this next chapter the nature of Vidhinishedam, its effect on us, and why Vidhinishedam is necessary, but how we should deal with Vidhinishedam. These are the things in this next chapter Krishna is going to talk about. Krishna is not saying that we don't need Vidhinishedam, do's and don'ts. He says it's necessary because if it is not there, that society will be totally lost. They'll become like animals, practically. Therefore, discipline is necessary and Vidhi and Nishedam is necessary. That is Krishna's point. But, and how it helps Vidhinishedam is, it creates Chitta Shuddhi, purification of inside, subtle body, and he gets a control on his senses. Sense control. And with the result is that bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam will come to the heart. In a heart which is freedom from, which is discipline, there's only bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam can develop. Dharmam varnashramanam shruti pata vihidam. Remember in the seventh canto also, Narada Maharshi told Yudhishthira Maharaj that five chapters there, Sadachara Varnana, that's called. That the, in English I think they call the life of a disciplined orders of life or something like that it is. Civilized life. And there Yudhishthira Maharaj was instructed by Narada Maharshi, and what he said was the Varnashrama Dharmam he spoke. And the purpose of that was to tell Yudhishthira that if this Varnashrama Dharmam is followed properly, in that society people will have bhakti. Bhakti, they will develop naturally because of these rules and regulations. So there you can see that to develop bhakti, to develop jnanam, to develop vairagyam, this Vidhinishedam is necessary. And that is what it's all about. But to finish with Vidhinishedam in life is no good. That is what Krishna's point is. Krishna is saying a little higher than that. He's saying Vidhinishedam is necessary, but Vidhinishedam is not the goal. Goal is Atma. So that is what he's going to talk about here. And therefore he says there that Vidhi and Nishedam, if one does not have that, for him it is not possible to reach the final goal. Krishna says that. So that Vedam which talks about Vidhi Nishedam, that very Vedam itself finally deny all Vidhi Nishedam. It throws away all the Vidhi Nishedam and shows to us the truth beyond Vidhi Nishedam. Isn't it? Vedam which gives us all Vidhi Nishedam, the do's and don'ts, that same Vedam finally throws away all do's and don'ts and shows to us the truth beyond the do's and don'ts. That's the beauty of Vedic literature. Because Vedam knows the goal very well. That is the, there is no confusion in the Vedam about the goal. There is no confusion at all in the Vedam. Vedam says there is only one goal. What is that goal? Realize the truth now, here. No other literature in the world says so openly and straightforward like the way Vedam does about it. So whatever that is necessary for that, we have to have. What's not necessary, we have to throw it away. That is why economic development and things like that is of no use discussing in the Vedic literature. They have no concern for that. They are not given any importance to it. All it says is that some discipline is necessary in life, that is Vidhi and Nishedam. For this purpose only, that if you have some discipline in life, it is possible that you will have control of your mind and senses. Chitta Shuddhi and Indriya Nigraha. These things will happen. If you have these two, Chitta Shuddhi and Indriya Nigraha, or control of the mind and control of the senses, in that person, Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam will develop in a natural way. Knowledge, Bhakti, knowledge, devotion and renunciation. Three things will develop in that person in a natural way.
Everything has to happen in a natural way. It cannot be pushed into somebody, anything. It has to come from within. All you have to do is to create the favorable situation for that. That is how Vedic process is. You create a favorable situation for that and leave the people themselves in a natural way. Good qualities will come in that person and good vasanas will develop, bhakti will develop, jnanam will develop, vairagyam will develop. This is the principle what Krishna is saying here. And after, if all these qualities develops in a person, that person will be very serious about realizing the ultimate truth, absolute truth. So that Vedam which denied all the Vidhinishedam, which introduced all the Vidhinishedam into our life, finally throw away all the Vidhinishedam and shows to us the truth beyond Vidhinishedam, beyond the Vidhinishedam. So where do we need this Vidhi Nishedam and how to transcend this Vidhi and Nishedam? This question came up from Uddhava. The answer to that is what Krishna has spoken in the last chapter. When Uddhava asked about Vidhi Nishedam and how to cross this Vidhi Nishedam, Gunastu Ubhayavarjita, both has to be given up, Krishna said. Then Uddhava asked a question, how do I cross over this? In answer to that, Krishna spoke the three yoga system. Jnanam, karma and bhakti. So, there one thing you have to notice, all the three yoga system is based on adhigari bhedam, based on your qualification. Where prakriti, material nature has put you, you have to start from there. This is the principle. Krishna has put everybody in this world in different situations, isn't it? So, that is why in the last chapter and in this chapter also, Krishna will repeat that same point again and again. You start from where you are at the moment. You are where you are now. And you have to start from there. That is the principle. Not to ask that, which yoga system should I follow? Karma, jnanam, or which is the best, you give it to me, I'll take that. Everybody likes the best, isn't it? No, it's not like that. It is like this, that Krishna is saying that where are you now? First you try to know that. What is your state at the moment? So, you can see like this. Majority of the people in this world are karmis. Is it not? They're called karmi. Karmi, they're not karma yogis. They're karmis. Karmis means, karmi generally means most of them are doing forbidden things. Most of them are doing forbidden things. Nishiddha karma. It's called Nishiddha karma. So, majority of the people in this world belong to that category. Little bit better than them who are doing these forbidden things is those who are doing fruitive activity. Nishiddha karma means forbidden ones. They have no control on them. They'll do anything to make money. Nishiddha karma. Nishiddha karma means that. Doing anything, no matter what, beg, borrow, or steal, whatever you have to do, you do it. Make money, that's a goal. Like, and that's their goal in life. They don't care anything about anybody. You can see a lot of people are in this world. That's how all these big industries have come up, isn't it? How did they come up? Because they learned this art. They manufacture goods which people don't need, and then they have to market it by promoting it. Like this, they control everyone in this world, create desires in people's mind through advertisement, publicity, and telling them you're not making progress if you're not doing all these things. In this way, this is all Nishiddha karma. That is why there is no discussion about factories, industries, and commerce, and all these kind of things in the Vedam. Because they're all Nishiddha karma. Nobody has to tell you Nishiddha karma. It is only intelligence will tell you that these are all Nishiddha karma it is. Isn't it? Big industry, big institutions we create in this world, and they become so big that they control the so many countries in this world. There, you can see all the time it's happening and cheating people, and this is all Nishiddha karma. It is, isn't it? But the society is honoring them, saying that, see, look how clever they are. they and we give respect. But from Shastram, if you look at it, that's all Nishiddha karma. Nishidharmam it is. All these huge institutions, money spending businesses in the name of factory, industry, technology, and all kinds of banking, what we have created in this world, how people are getting all the time in difficulties with it. Everybody on a personal level is helpless about it. He can't say anything. And so anyway, we know, if you think about it, everybody knows the problems. But that is all Nishiddha Karma. But better than that Nishiddha Karma is one who does Kamya Karma. Nishiddha Karma means no rules, no regulations, nothing, cheating, lying, whatever it is, you make money, that's all. Kamya Karma means that you have desires, therefore you are working. But when you are working within certain parameters. That means you won't do anything, but still you like the results from the karma. Many people are there like that. But Nishiddha Karma is the maximum in this world. If you look at the world, Nishiddha Karma is the maximum. 70, 80, 90% is, you can say, Nishiddha Karma it is. What is going on? All those who are working in all this manufacturing and industry and banking and all sorts of things, it's all Nishiddha Karma it is. But helplessly, people have no choice. They have to survive. So society, Rajogunam, Tamogunam is controlling the society. Anyway, point is this, Krishna is making here, is that better than the Nishiddha Karma is those who are performing Kamya Karma. Kamya Karma means they will only work within rules and regulations. They know that certain things are wrong in this world, but they like the results. They want the money. They want the results from the work. That is called Kamya Karma. So better than Nishiddha Karma is those who are doing Kamya Karma. So generally a lot of people are doing Kamya Karma in this world. Helplessly they are doing the Kamya Karma. And in order to fulfill their desires, they need the money. And to get the money, they are willing to go out and work, isn't it? So if you go a one step higher than that, they are the people who perform Vihita Karma. Krishna calls it as Vihita Karma. Vihita Karma means it is then that he started going up. He start going up in life when he start doing this Vihita Karma. Vihita Karma means he's not doing Kamya Karma, he's not doing Nishiddha Karma, but what he is doing is that Vihita Karma. Vihita Karma means, for example, a person, he's very steady in his life. In his daily life, he keeps certain discipline. He wakes up in the morning and he, for a few hours, he is absorbed in his spiritual pursuit, like chanting the holy name. He goes to the temple, he performs circumambulate the deity, he pays obeisances to the deity, engages in the deity worship, and in this way, he keeps certain discipline in his life. That is what is called as Vihita Karma. That means he has come to understand. And if you ask him why you are doing all these things, he says, I don't know. I don't need anything, but I have to do it. That understanding. I have to do it, that discipline inside. I'm doing it because that's my duty in that way. Vihita Karma means it is prescribed like that, I should do these things. That means he himself has brought some discipline in his own life. By doing that way. So there is no purpose behind it. First of all, Nishiddha Karma. That means forbidden things. Then Kamya Karma, fruitive activity. Then after that, Vihita Karma. After that, Vihita Karma. Nishiddha Karma, Kamya Karma, then Vihita Karma. When you come to Vihita Karma, it is there that you started a little bit going up in the life. Spiritually, you are making a little progress. That means you have brought some discipline in your life on your own accord. You have decided that from now on, this is the way I'm going to live. I'm not bothered what goes on in this world. I will do what I have to do. Accepting your own life in a disciplined way to bring it down to spiritual life to some extent. 24 hours, it may not be possible still. But at least a few hours in the morning, waking up in the morning, chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, doing deity worship, and following certain discipline about prasadam and eating habits, recreation habits, all that, bringing under control. And not to get involved in things which are unnecessary in this world. All this is a part of that. That's also a discipline in life, isn't it? Not to get attracted to other things which has no importance to spiritual life. So, you can see here, generally, people who are doing that are very, very rare, isn't it? There's not many people who will follow this Vihita Karmam also. Because normally, behind any movement in this world, there will be some business behind that. Some business behind that. So, just like you can see in Karmam, that is a disease from the karma. That if you do something, you have to get something. Otherwise, why should I do that? What am I going to get from that? This thought will come. So, without expecting any results, just for the sake of discipline, nishta, in other words, for the sake of discipline, or for the benefit of others, welfare of others, and or by very nature itself, certain people are like that, isn't it? They are controlled in their life. And they live that life, or due to sattvagunam. All these things are the cause of vihita karma. Vihita karma can happen due to any one of these, either due to sattvagunam or due to his nature, a person's nature. Or he feels that doing these things, living like this, is necessary. For example, family life, a householder. The man has to live in a disciplined life, being an example to others in the family. Others see that the father, mother, they are living very disciplined way and they are always absorbed in spiritual life. Because they may not be getting any benefit from that, but others in the family sees that and they get inspired by that. It will have in a certain level, it has an impact on them, on other members of the family. That one, that means for others' benefit, you have to do it in that way. Or just as a nishta. Nishta means as a discipline, you are doing that. You see. So, for various reasons, vihita karmam is followed. Vihita karmam is followed. And if it is done without any expectation of results, it is karma yoga. It is karma yoga. So, if you do that, karma yogam in that way, in course of time, he will develop sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti will happen to that person. And through sadhana bhakti, he develops chitta shuddhi, purification, his own purification. And when he has purified himself, the knowledge of the self will start showing its power inside. The knowledge of the self. The alpajnanam, knowledge will happen. So it is at that point that one who has this jnana samskaram inside, because this life is not what we see today, isn't it? From several lifetimes, we have brought with us a lot of other things in our bag. All what is happening in this life is, what we brought with us from previous life, it's coming out in different ways. That's all it is. So, previous lifetimes, what we have collected, which is in our Karana Shariram, which has come to Sushma Shariram, and will start operating in this life, in different forms, it starts manifesting. So, you can see, that is why we are all different in our nature, because of this. That previous lifetime, what has come with us, is different, and therefore, everybody's life is different, everyone has a different nature. So, in that process, life is a ongoing thing. It doesn't finish with this body. It didn't finish with many bodies before. After this body also, it will continue according to our state, whatever position we are in. So, those who have got jnana samskaram inside, that means in previous lifetime, they were concerned about spiritual knowledge and self-realization through the process of knowledge. After they have reached this state, chitta shuddhi has happened to them, he will go in the direction of jnana margam or the knowledge process. And those who have got the devotional nature, devotional culture from previous life, he will go in the bhakti margam. He'll go, this is how it happens. You got to wait till that stage comes. It's not that like a lottery you pick a number. That's not how you select bhakti margam, jnana margam, karma margam. Everything is controlled inside, within us. That mechanism is there, operating. Antaryami inside, Krishna is helping to make that decision at the right time. Till that thing happens, our responsibility is to follow the spiritual path. Karma yogam, jnana yogam, bhakti yogam, all of them necessary. But at some point in time, you will see this yourself within, that your own vasanas are strongly pulling you towards jnanam or strongly pulling you towards bhakti. That has to happen from inside. You can't make that choice. That's not in your hands. Because life is a very ongoing thing. So many lives we have crossed and come to this body. Today also, if we have some vasana for spiritual life, it didn't come from this life. Not that somebody has preached to you and therefore it happened. No. It has happened in previous life, certain things. It has a very powerful influence on you. Only thing is, when somebody spoke to you, it woke up inside straight away and started coming out. That's all it is. That is what it's all about. That we are thinking that, oh, somebody has preached to you and I was looking for high knowledge and somebody told me and immediately I got the answer. As though everything is so finely defined and decided in life. It's not like that. Some vasanas were inside from previous life also, which is lying hidden there. But when you came into contact, when Krishna's arrangement, that is Krishna's grace, when you came into contact with another person who has had spoken to you about, immediately this thing woken up inside and you started going in that path. That's all it is. So Krishna is saying here that the jnana margam and bhakti margam decision is made like that, according to the vasana inside. What vasana we have brought with us, it's very difficult to say. Sometimes it is lying in a very hidden state inside. So those who have got jnana vasana, they'll go in the jnana margam. Those who have got the bhakti vasana, they'll go in the bhakti margam. That is why for some people, jnana margam looks attractive. For some people, bhakti margam looks attractive. But finally, there is no jnanam, there is no bhakti. It's all one only. It all goes away. And finally, Krishna says, that person who has reached that stage, he has no desire. And he has sees everywhere presence of the one consciousness, pure consciousness. Isn't it? Vidyate hriday granthi chidyante sarva samshayaha kshiyante chasya karmani mai drishte akhilalmani. That is that state we spoke yesterday. And he said, Krishna said, that is equally applied to a jnani, equally applies to a devotee, bhakti also. Bhakti and jnanam finishes there. It is right in middle of all these things that we talked about, all these things. So Krishna said that, and Krishna also said, first class devotee means liberated soul. Liberated soul, and what is that state? He is seeing Krishna as the Antaryami in all the living entities. That is the greatest devotee, he says. And that is the first class devotee, saying that Krishna finished the last chapter. That means duality has gone away from him. He's not seeing dvandvam anymore. Good and bad, happiness and distress, and right and wrong, all these things have gone away from him. For him, Krishna said, there is no karmam. Chidyande, vidyade hriday grandi, chidyande sarva samshaya, kshiyande chasya karmani. He has no karmam. And what else? Vidyade chidyande sarva samshaya. He has no doubts. And vidyade hriday grandi. He has no bondage either. No attachment anywhere. Completely free of all connections with this world. And in him, there's only one thing, pure consciousness, which is spread everywhere in the creation, wherever, in all living entities. He is seeing that I am that vastu, that absolute consciousness. Not only that, that person, he has no desires or anything in him, but still sometimes you will see they are doing some work in this world, and his state is nirapeksham. Nirapeksham means that he has no desires in him.
And that is very high. And that Krishna spoke about the best bhakti, the best of all the devotions. He said like this. And saying like that, Krishna begins the next chapter. You can see that.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ya Edan Malpado Hitva Bhakti Jnana Kriyal Magan Kshudran Kamam Shale Praner Jushandam Samsaran Dide Sve Sve Adhigare Ya Nishta Saguna Parigirtidaha Vibaryestu Doshasyal Ubhayo Resha Nishchayaha. Those two verses. Edan Malpado Hitva Bhakti Jnana Kriyal Magan Kshudran Kamam Shale Praner Jushandam Samsaran Dide Sve Sve Adhigare Yanishta Saguna Parigirtidaha Vibaryastu Doshaha Syad Ubhayor Eshanishayaha.
Krishna is saying like this. Then he says that Krishna has not finished the topic there in the last chapter. Again, coming back to the same topic. Here, beginning of this chapter, Krishna is beginning with a warning there in the chapter. What is that warning? Krishna is saying, either bhakti process or jnanam process or karmam process, he says. Now, remember I mentioned this yesterday, all these chapters are for higher sadhakas, not for ordinary people. People who have gone quite high in spiritual life, it's for them. This is not for ordinary people. In ordinary people level, we have to follow all the three yoga system. But here, because Krishna is talking to Uddhava and Ekadasha Skandam, he say very higher topic of discussion. He's saying that a one who has come to this stage, he should know that jnana margam, karma margam, or bhakti margam, which one to go for. You should know that, he says. So, without expectation of results, executing karma is karma yoga. Karma yoga, that is one possible. And without doing that, that means without following that process, Krishna says, if you waste all your energy, all of us have got a certain amount of energy in life, isn't it? You can see each of us got a few years in life for spiritual life. What to do something good in this life, useful thing. Most of the thing what we do is waste. 90% is waste. To maintain a body which we are not, you're working for so many hours a day, and throughout life, isn't it? So that's our situation in this world. So Krishna's point is that you've got only a certain amount of energy. And pranam, prana means urjam, energy, isn't it? That urjam, urjam means energy. If you distribute it in useless things, it is wasted. It is wasted. Pranam is our strength, isn't it? Pranam means our energy. That energy we have used for all useless things in this life. And then we are thinking, why am I not making any spiritual progress? What should I do? We ask the question, what can be done? What can be done? Most of us are coming to spiritual life at a very later part in life. We have become a little serious at a very old age. In the youth, and a major part of the life was spent in acquiring wealth, maintaining family, fulfilling all the social obligations, all other things like that. And finally, when we started seeing that all this is all useless, then we started thinking about spiritual life, to find some purpose in life. That means
majority of energy what Krishna has given us in life was misdirected. For the wrong purpose, we wasted it. So therefore, it is also difficult when we see that Krishna is demanding, and Krishna has nothing else to say to us except self-realization and spiritual life. So it puts us in a very difficult situation. You can see that Krishna is expecting from us a higher level of commitment and a higher level of seriousness in spiritual life. And we are not able to give it to Krishna. That we want to do things in our way and we want to bring Krishna to our level. That's not possible. We have to rise up to Krishna's standard. We can't bring Krishna's standard down. Krishna's standard is very high, especially in Ekadasha Skandam. If one cannot come to all these things, then the option left is, as Krishna says, that live in this world as a karmi and continue with karmam. Be happy with your birthdays and marriages and all other happy events in life. Keep the album and keep looking at it at the old age and leave the body. That's only choice left. There's no other choice. So there, Krishna's point is, it's up to you to make that decision. I'm telling you the truth, Krishna says, that the only reality is the soul. Body is not a reality. Krishna is repeatedly saying this in the Ekadasha Skandam, as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, with logic and reasoning, not blindly giving some instruction. No, with logic and reasoning, things are presented. And those who have escaped from this maya, they have also shown to us that that is the truth. Isn't it? Meaning, you can see, even Mahatmas have suffered in this world. They have suffered to come to this understanding. It takes a long time in life. It's not that we are the only one who are stuck like this. You shouldn't think like that. Be one great, great personality. If you read Mahatma Gandhi's autobiography, you read that. See what he has to say about himself. He says, I was not interested in Bhagavad Gita. I was not interested in Ramayana, anything, he said. And in the early days, he himself says about it. He says that I was not too concerned. He was very much attracted by the Western education. He took up his, at that time, that was the situation in the world. That education was considered to be the best. And he fell into that trap himself. And he came here from South Africa and the life he had here at that time. You should read the biography for this purpose, to see that even a great personality like him, in his own life, at what stage proper realizations came. It didn't happen day one. It happens at the age of 60 or 70, all this proper understanding coming to him. Up to that time, he thought all this legal system in the world, where he was a barrister, and he was, where he was absorbed in the legal quagmire and trying to sort this out, that out, independence, this, that, everything. All sorts of things he was absorbed in that. And he recognizes that later, that when I started getting absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita later, this is happening when? Much, much later in his life. So it's not that we are the only one doing this. It is always like that. That's the way it happens in life. We haven't got any control. We feel some... But Krishna's point is, we are giving you some energy, some urjam, energy he has given us. If you utilize it in the right way, there is some hope. If you utilize in the right way, there is some hope. So, Krishna's point is that that urjam or energy, what Krishna has given us is pranam. If we utilize that for fulfilling all little desires in this world, kshudrakamam. Krishna mentions that kshudrakamam. For him, the only option is that finally he will keep rotating here, changing his body. That's what will happen. He'll continue to rotate in this world. He is not going to come out of it, he says here. So, it is at that time, Uddhava's question was, these three yoga systems you have spoken, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, Karma Yogam, which one should I do? Uddhava asked the question, what should I do? You have spoken three yoga systems, what should I do? We will also ask the same question, isn't it? So, it was at that time you can see Krishna's answer. Same words in the last chapter and in this chapter also. Look at Bhagavatam, you will see there. Sve sve adhigare yanishta saguna parikirtidaha vibaryayastu dosha syal ubhayor esha nishchaya. See the second verse in the 21st chapter? That is the answer for that. Now, we discussed this three yoga system yesterday, day before, 2-3 days, isn't it? Which yoga system? Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam. And Krishna said that one of the yoga system you have to follow eventually, not in the beginning, eventually. So if you ask me, at this stage if the doubt is coming, which one should I follow? Krishna is saying, answer to that, Sve Sve Adhigareya Nishta Saguna Parikirtidaha Vibaryayastu Doshasyal Ubhayor Esha Nishchaya. That is the way you make the decision. What, for which yoga system you are qualified, you have to know. Nobody will come and tell you, and if anybody tells you, that will be wrong also. That's how it is. Sve sve adhigare ya nishtha. According to your adhigaram, he says. According to your adhigaram. Adhigaram is the thing. That means Krishna is looking at us and saying to us, based on the vasanas what has come brought, what you have brought with you, you should know yourself. So this is why it's so important to know ourselves first. What are we inside? What's my swabhava? What's my vasanas inside? So Krishna says, Sve Sve Adhigare Ya Nishta Saguna Parigirtida. According to your adhigaram, your gunam, you will, and if you are, if according to your qualification, if you are doing that properly and steadily, that is good. That is the right thing. And if you are going against your gunam, against your vasana inside, and doing something which you are not, which is not there in you, and if you operate in that way, that is bad. Krishna says like that. Vibaryayastu doshasyal. And this is all important thing, he says. Gunadosha bhidam. Vibaryayastu doshasyal ubhayoresha nishchada. In other words, gunam dosham is based on adhigari bhedam. Adhigari bhedam means what? Adhigari bhedam means, for example, all these rules and regulations depends on the person who is following the rules and regulations. Do you understand that? That say, for example, there are certain rules and regulations you have in the Shastram. Depending on the person, that rules and regulations will change. A person in a very lower level, he has certain rules and regulations. Person in a higher level, you can't apply the same rules and regulations to him. This is the important thing. That you will come to know when you start looking at it carefully, how it works. Adhigaritam, it is called. And the same thing, if you look into the last chapter, Krishna says the same thing again. 26th verse in the 20th chapter. Sve sve adhigare ya nishta saguna parikirtidaha. The same thing, same verse. Again he is repeating that. That means, naturally, Krishna has sensed that Uddhava didn't catch that. That's why in the last verse he said, in the verse 26 he says, Sve sve adhigare ya nishta sa guna parigirtida. Karmanam jati ashuddhanam anena neyamakrida guna dosha vidhanena sanghanam tyajane cheya. That's the 26th verse. And the same thing, again, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Sve Sve Adhigare Yamishta Saguna Parigirtida. Have you seen that? The two same verses, repeated again, next chapter. One same verse in the 19th chapter, 20th chapter, and again in the 21st chapter, the same verse is coming. That shows that Krishna is stressing that point. Adhikaram is important. Where do we stand, each one of us? That is the question. That is what Krishna is saying there. Sve sve adhikare ya nishta saguna parigirtida. Sagunam parigirtida. So, we'll stop for a few minutes. It's 9 o'clock. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakai dava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandambudhi vardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvapna swabhanam param vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Nam Namagari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smaranena Kala Edadrisham Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamavi Durdeva Vidashamiha Janina Anuragaha Tranara Vishuni Jena Tareora Visahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadi Shakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwari Bhavadad Bhaktirahi Dugitvai Ainandadanuja Kinkaram Patidamam Shame Bhavambudo Kripayadava Pada Pankajastida Duli Sadrasham Vijindaya Kladashudharaya Vadanam Gadgadiruddhaya Gira Pulagair Nijidam Kadava Bhutavannama Grihane Bhavishyadi Yugaidam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishaidam Shunyaidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahename Ashrishiva Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyotuva Yathatatava Vidatha Dulambada Matprananatha Suna Evana Parahaha So, Shri Bhagavan Vacham Ya Edan Matpado Hitva, the first verse in the 21st chapter. Ya Edan Matpado Hitva Bhakti Jnana Kriyal Magan Shudran Kamam Shale Praner Jushanda Samsarandide. Krishna says that one who does not take to these three processes of yoga system, which one? Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, or Bhakti Yogam. And instead, he does not follow any of them. And instead, using the senses and trying to enjoy the senses, such a person, he has to go through different species. That's the conclusion. If you don't take shelter of any of these three yoga systems, and if you keep on thinking in this world that I'll earn money, live well, comfortably, that person, Krishna says, he will keep on changing his bodies from one species to another. He'll go through either in the human body or in the animal's body or in the bird's body or the beast's body or the trees or whatever. In this 8.4 million different species, he will be rotating within that. That's the first conclusion. Then, one karmam brings good results for one person. The same karma brings bad results for another person. And why this difference happening? And question is that if you touch fire, for everyone it's heat, isn't it? Fire means heat. So when it is like that, why is that karma alone brings different results? If that is the question, Krishna says, reason for that is next verse. Sve sve adhikare ya nishta saguna parigirtida viparishta doshasyal upayoresha nishchaya. In other words, according to your qualification, adhikaram, that is what makes it happen. not the karmam, the person's adhikaram, qualifications. He mentioned that in the previous verse also, chapter also. Svesve adhikare ya nishta saguna parigirtida. The same line you can see in the previous chapter. Karmanam jati ashuddhanam anena nemakkaga. Gunadosha vidhanena sanganam tyaja ichayam. Again, Krishna is saying that svesve adhikare ya nishta saguna parigirtida. Suppose a person, he is qualified for doing a particular thing. If he does that, then the result will be good. The result will be good. This you can see in spiritual life also. If you have no spiritual understanding and knowledge of the self, spiritual knowledge and spiritual realization, and if you start talking about spiritual life, it will all develop into materialism. It will turn into materialism. This you will always notice this. That spiritual consciousness is important to talk about spiritual life, isn't it? To do spiritual activities, that you have to be fixed in spiritual path. But often what happens is, we read books and we think that, oh, it's all mentioned in the book. Everybody says like that, it's all in the books, they say. It's all in the books, I agree, but it is not in you, it's in the books only. That's the difference. People always say everything is in the books. I agree, it's in the books, but it is not in you, it's in the books. For it has to happen in you and then it makes a difference. But it hasn't happened. So this is the difficulty. That is what Krishna is saying here. Sve sve adhikare ya nishta saguna parigirtida. That means you are qualified to do a particular work according to your gunam inside. If you have a gunam inside, then it is right. That nishta. Nishta means that steadiness in that. Nishta means that steadiness in that. And this is the biggest problem what you find in the modern world. That everybody, we have pulled them into spiritual life. We said everyone should come to spiritual life. And everybody should become a spiritual leader. Everybody should preach. And that's what we find, what goes on now. Now, people who haven't got that adhikaram in there, and nishta. Nishta means that steadiness and fixed commitment in spiritual life. Because that comes from the adhikaram. Adhikaram is that's what is adhikaram means, that nishta in them. So guna parigirtida. And if he is doing that according to his qualification, in other words, if he is qualified and he is steady in his work, then whatever he does is good. That's Krishna's judgment. Whatever he does, whatever comes through him will be good for the world. And if he is not qualified for that, and if he is not steady in his life, whatever he does will be bad for the world. He will mislead a lot of people and then finally he will die and go from here. This will happen. He will not only mislead himself, he will mislead many others also and they will leave the world. This is the problem. That is why sve sve adhikare yanishta. Krishna gives importance to that adhikaram. Adhikaram, that means that he has that qualities in him for that right job, right person for the right job, they say, isn't it? So same thing. So that is the first definition Krishna is saying here. So a person in life, nothing is higher, nothing is lower. Wherever we are, we have to start from there, according to our swabhava, our nature in us. Then, or where Krishna has put us in this world. Krishna has put us in certain situations. So whatever nature in us inside, the vasanas or svabhavam in us, and wherever Krishna has put us in this world, if you do that steadily and remain in that state, that is good for you, Krishna says. Don't change that position. That means Krishna has put us, every one of us, in certain situations in this world. Prakriti, in other words, you can say. Somebody as a householder, somebody as a brahmachari, somebody as a sannyasi, or somebody as a brahmana, or a kshatriya, or a vaishya, or a shudra. Whichever that is, whichever position he is, Prakriti has put him into, Krishna says, if you stay there, and if your nature is to do that, and if you do that steadily, that is good for you. Saguna parigirtida, this is the definition. He says, Saguna parigirtida. Viparyayastu doshasyal ubhayoresha nischaya. Other words, Krishna says, suppose you give up your swabhavam or dharmam, and if you think that something else is very good, I like to do that. Like many of us think like that, isn't it? I like somebody else's work. I like doing that work. Let me do that. And if you say like that and start doing that, that's bad. That is the point Krishna is making. Even the karma what we are doing in this world, even if those karma has got some defects in that, that Krishna is saying that defect is better than doing somebody else's karma. I don't know whether you remember when we discussed the fourth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, we talked about varnashrama dharmam, isn't it? That's where this principle also comes. On what basis Krishna divided varnam and ashramam, varnashrama dharmam? How was this division happened? Based on the vasana inside. That is why, and it has existed like that for a very, very long period of time. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Similarly, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. This is Varnashramam. So this Varnashrama Dharmam, Krishna is saying here, will help in these things. Because naturally, one person takes birth in one particular situation, and because he has similar vasanas, like that. And it makes a lot easier for him in his life. You know, in the modern world, it's an important thing to choose the career, isn't it? People don't know what career to choose because there is so many career available, number one. Number two, you can't keep on testing different careers and to make a decision what is the best for me. That also is difficult. So most of the people are confused about it, which way to follow. And when there is no enough opportunities for the jobs, people get stuck in all sorts of situations. You can see that in the job market, how people are struggling with different jobs in which they have no taste for that kind of work, but they are forced to do it and they are taking it up as their job and they are doing it. So all this is due to the not studying the human psyche properly. In the Varnashrama Dharmam, that's what they have done. They have understood our psyche well. In other words, they are saying that you have this nature in you. One who is very interested in the Brahminical nature, Brahminical qualities, let him be a Brahmana. One who has got Kshatriya nature, let him be a Kshatriya. One who has got a Vaishya nature, let him be a Vaishya. And one who doesn't follow any of these three, let him be as a Shudra. So in this way, that definition, that, and that also based on adhigaram, isn't it? That is in the Varna Dharma. In Ashrama Dharma also, the same applies. Ashrama Dharma also, the same applies. That is why Krishna is saying here, Svesve Adhigare Ya Nishta Sa Guna Parigirtida. It's all based on adhigaram, Krishna says. What that person is competent or capable of doing. So, and that is what the nature has given to us. And he says here, keep on doing that. Whatever karma has come to you through prarabdham, keep doing that. And you should not keep looking at others' karma. Keep looking at your own karma and keep doing that. And that is what makes you qualified for self-realization. That karma, what you are doing, that is what makes you qualified for self-realization. Because Krishna says here that and it is on that basis this jnanam, karmam, bhakti, yogam, three yoga system Krishna has spoken. Do you understand that connection? That means that this jnana yogam, bhakti yogam, karma yogam will come from this adhigaram. Adhigaram, isn't it? Adhigaram means that your qualifications. And Krishna mentioned those qualifications before. What was that? In the last chapter he said that Nirvinnanam Jnana Yogo Nyasinam Iha Karmasu Teshu Anirvinna Chittanam Karma Yogastu Kaminam. That is the qualifications. You have, by nature, you are a lot of vairagyam inside. And you have no attachment for karma, no desire for karma, lot of attraction, attachment, lot of renunciation inside. And you know very well that this happiness in this world is not worthwhile pursuing. You have come to conclusion yourself without anybody telling you. You have come to your own way, you have analyzed the world, and you made the decision that I am not pursuing this lifestyle in this world. Running after wealth, running after making money and enjoying world, that's not what I want. I wanted something higher than this. That power of discrimination is naturally comes to some people, for some people. And when it comes to them, Krishna is saying that such a person is qualified for Jnana Margam. He said that in the last chapter. Sve sve adhigare ya nishta saguna parigirtida. Nirvinnanam jnana yogo nyasinamiha karmasu teshu anirvinna chitanam. That's what they are meant for, because they have already got that qualification. And then what did he say? Karma yogastu kaminam. But on the other hand, suppose you are very attached to work, attached to making money, and attached for all kinds of recognition and name and fame in this world, then for you, karma yogam is the process, Krishna said. So it is on, that means everything is based on qualifications. And then those who don't belong to either of these two, who knows that they are not too attached, but they are not too renounced either. And they also know that there must be some higher goal than all these things in life, what goes on. For them, Krishna said that. And plus, by chance, they come to hear about Krishna. Hear about Krishna means they came to hear about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Those people, Krishna is saying, there is a possibility they can go into Bhakti Yoga. Like that, that is how Krishna classified them into three, isn't it? Jnani, Karma Yogi and devotee. In these three ways he classified that. These classifications are only in the middle. That also you have to remember. When you come to the final stages of realization, all these three goes away. There is no Jnanam, Karma, Bhakti, there is only one. That means you have reached the perfection and there only Krishna remains, nothing else. Everything else has gone by then. So after saying all that things, Krishna says that if you don't follow these three processes, but if you simply think that, oh, all this is all nonsense, I'm going to enjoy my life in this world and I'll work in this world, I'll earn my money and I'll make a good living here, and whatever happens after that doesn't matter. That person, Krishna says, he has only one choice, keep on changing the body. Rotate through this life again and again, body after body. So here Krishna says that every one of us, what favors us, what comes to us favorably in life, we consider that as gunam, and what is against our interest, we consider that as dosham. It is on that basis gunam dosham has been defined. So, but if you look at it from an absolute level, Krishna is looking at it in a different way. He's saying to us that this body, everyone's body in this world is made of five material elements. Is it not? Earth, water, air, ether, and fire. So, in strictly speaking, because it's made of five material elements, all bodies are equal. In that sense, isn't it? No body is higher or lower. Every body is equal because it's all made of five material elements. Five material elements. So, but in this body also, we have decided somebody is pure, somebody is not pure. We started making decisions like that. Is it not? Sometimes you say, oh, he's very pure. Somebody will say, he's not very pure. Somebody will say, he is a devotee. Somebody else says, he's a demon. We call different people in a demonic way. He is acting in a devotee way. But if you look at both the body, they are the same material elements only. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. Both the demon's body and the devotee's body also. So, This difference is, then why do we differentiate between people? The answer to that is that he is pure, he is not pure. And those who are very thoughtful people, they don't accept everything. Instead, that what they say is that when you look at people, when you find higher qualities in that person, you accept them. We agree, everybody is made of 5 material elements. Sannyasi's body is 5 material elements. Householder's body is also 5 material elements. Brahmana's body is 5 material elements. Shudra's body is also 5 material elements. In that level, they are all equal, isn't it? But then why, what is the difference? So intelligent people's, their conclusion is that in all these bodies, what you find as noble qualities, you accept them. You accept those noble qualities. In an idea is that in some person you see that they have come out of the grip of sense gratification. In some people, sense gratification is very important. For some people, they enjoy senses too much, isn't it? And there are others who enjoy senses very little. Both you find. And both bodies are made of the same elements. Therefore, when you see in someone who doesn't enjoy senses, who has controlled life and discipline and principles and behavior, those things you have to accept. You can't reject that, can you? And in someone else, you find all kinds of degradation through their sense enjoyment and sense gratification and attraction for sensual life and attraction for degraded way of acting in this world. When you see that, you have to reject that. That's necessary, is it not? It is necessary. Even though both bodies are made of same material elements, the things that comes out from that body is different. The output. So, if you start analyzing Shastram altogether, it will bring a lot of confusion about this. It will bring a lot of confusion. So, idea is that if you see good qualities, this goodness in these persons, like we say that it is on this basis that Varnashrama Dharma was created. They agree that Brahmana's body, Shudra's body, everybody is the same body. There is no difference at all same material elements. But what's happening is that in one body you find some noble qualities coming out. In another body you find some degraded qualities coming out. So when you see that, you have to make differentiation. You have to differentiate then. Good things you have to accept and the bad things you have to put in another category. And that is how the division came. So it is with this intention, so that the noble things develops. Otherwise, how will they develop if you equate both qualities are concerned? So, Shastram, when you start looking at it, it will cause problems. Why all this is spoken? So, therefore it says here, he does not have to take everything on board. He doesn't have to take everything on board. What has been given to him by the nature, that is what is good for him. For example, that in this separation, if in someone some good qualities are developing and in some bad qualities are developing, it is also due to the circumstances in which he is put into. Is it not? For example, naturally, if you are with spiritually inclined people, spiritually enthused people, you will also feel some spiritual enthusiasm. But if you are all the time with materialist people, you will not feel that spiritual, rarely that it will happen, if you know. So, but what Krishna is saying here is that it doesn't matter where you have been put into, what is the qualities in me one should look at oneself, and says that these are my capacity. If I utilize it properly in the right way, that will be beneficial for me. That is Krishna's conclusion. I need not look into somebody else and start doing things.
That is dangerous. That is Krishna's point. Like you can see that sometimes we see that a householder, he looks at a sannyasi's life and he starts behaving like a sannyasi. That will not do. Equally, if a sannyasi thinks, I am a sannyasi, and looking at a householder and things like that, he start acting like a householder, that's also dangerous. So wherever Krishna has put us, in whatever situations, I need not look into somebody else's. What is me, in me, that is more important. And you don't need to know about anybody else. There is no need for that, Krishna is saying. Because useless knowledge is a burden. If you collect a lot of knowledge which is useless, that becomes a burden on you. So that if you collect all kinds of knowledge, brain is limited. It will go into the brain and a lot of brain cells will get destroyed in that process. And it will become useless and it will become destroyed. So Krishna says that I have given some intelligence to everybody, and this boat, which is this body, is to cross the ocean. To cross the ocean. Not for, if I have to know everything else in this world, what the American president had for his breakfast. What did he have? If I come to know about it, what good is it? How is it going to help? So this kind of things that we, in our pursuit for knowledge, what has happened is, we have started collecting all kinds of knowledge from all over the world, thinking that this will help me, that knowledge will help me. Krishna says, what good is it? How is it going to help you? That is Krishna's point. Therefore, he says that don't utilize that energy and the brain for collecting all the rubbish in this world. Collecting the rubbish in this world. You can see sometimes people very focused in the sports, they will know to such fine details about every football team, everyone who is playing in the football team, all his life history of that player. You would be amazed by their depth of knowledge about the football team members or cricket team members. And people will say, oh, he's very knowledgeable. He's got all this rubbish in his head. Whether it is any team, doesn't matter. He will have collected all sorts of information. And to such fine details, they will analyze every football match. I mean, they will write about it. And they are what they call blogging. And all sorts of things they will be doing. This. And you start wondering, where do they find time for all this? They are working people in the offices and industry and all that. So you can see that there's a lot of people out there who is collecting all sorts of information in their head about all sorts of things. Is it not? You can see that. All you have to, and then there is all these things to help them also, internets and websites and everything. So much knowledge and so much of garbage collection is going on in the name of knowledge. So what Krishna is saying to us is that, what good is it, all these things? Where is it going to take you at the end? One day when you leave the body, what will happen? All this knowledge is of any use to you? No, it doesn't help anywhere. And therefore, Krishna's point is that by knowing all these things, you have not gained anything. You have not gained anything. And by come to know about it also, nothing much has changed in your life. You haven't gained anything. By knowing that, you have not gained anything. By not knowing also, you haven't lost anything. Not lost anything. So, but this inquisitiveness to know things of everything what goes on in this world, Krishna says it's a disease. It's a disease. Why do you have to know everything that is going on in this creation? There is so much, isn't it? I mean, it makes people's life very, very hard, very difficult. Newspapers, what they call as a media, isn't it? Television and internet and whatnot, so many radio, so many things in this world, constantly developing, and you have to keep on pace with that, isn't it?
1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G now, I think. I don't know, 5G, I think, at the moment, wherever G it is. So, and people have to keep track of all these things and keep on progressing with it. Many people do that, is it not? So, all this hasn't helped very much. The problem is not gone. Problem is still there. Problem is what? That birth, death, old age, disease, all these things are still there. So, Krishna is saying, that is why that Krishna said, this problem that to acquire information about everything in this world. There's a book called Ashtanga Hridaya. Ashtanga Hridaya is an Ayurvedic text. In that, this inquisitiveness is considered to be a disease. It's considered to be a disease. So, Moham Autsukyam Arati. It says, Moham Autsukyam. This is called Autsukyam. Autsukyam means this inquisitiveness to find out all useless things, but finding so attracted by that, like the sports or like the similarly like the sports other things also, isn't it? I know there are a lot of things going on in this world all the time, isn't it? People are so concerned about so many things. Krishna's point is that this Autsukyam Arati, in other words, he says there, to desire to know things which are of no use to us, and that is a scratching in the brain. Scratch in the brain, he says here, and that is a disease. Psychological disorder. That's how they call it. So, therefore, not to go in that direction. Why Krishna saying this is? Krishna mentioned before, this body, if it can be used for the right purpose, it can be of some help to you in realizing the truth. Similarly with the mind and the brain also. He doesn't want us to sidetrack, go to other things and waste time on all those things. Therefore he says here, you can see in the next verse, that is what he's going to say. That what you don't require, you don't have to know. What you don't need, you don't have to know. Shuddhya shuddhi vidhiyete samaneshu vivastushu dravyasya vijigilsartham gunadoshau shubha shubhau. That's all. Shuddhya shuddhi vidhiyete samaneshu vivastushu dravyasya vijigilsartham gunadoshau shubha shubhau. Gunadoshau shubha shubhau. Shastram has spoken many things. Shastram. When I say Shastram means Vedic literature, has spoken many things. It says this is pure, this is not pure. This is pure, this is not pure. Shastram has put a lot of restrictions like that. This is okay, this is not okay. And many people get a doubt at that time. If you go to some places in the world, they will say this is pure. And if you, other places, they will say it's not pure, impure. And something that is considered pure in one place, in another place it will be considered impure. In one place, what is considered, Prabhupada used to give this example of cow dung. Cow dung is considered pure in one place. In another place, they don't consider cow dung as pure, isn't it? So, if you ask a question logically, one who thinks about it, it will be very difficult to answer that. Is it not? Very difficult to answer that. Now, just because in India cow dung is considered pure, and if you expect the whole world to take to cow dung and to start using cow dung everywhere, that will not happen. And that is because in many other places, they are looking at cow dung in a different way, whether it's pure or impure. Although in the Vedic literature, many things are mentioned, and if you use your intelligence and start asking the questions, it is difficult to get an answer for that. Of course, in the case of cow dung, they say there's a lot of antiseptic properties in the cow dung,
and therefore it's pure, they say, some scientists say like that. But then in some other places they are saying cow dung can be a source of disease also. These are different understanding in different places. Krishna's point is that Shastram has spoken something, this is pure, this is impure. And that is being followed in a traditional way at different places. That is all it is. The logic behind all these things, what you find in the Shastram, the logic is only known to the rishis who have written that. Only they know about it. That is what Krishna is going to talk about in this chapter. There is so many things in the Shastram, isn't it? And if you start asking questions, why it is like this? Like now, for example, there are so many examples you can say, and people follow traditionally in different parts of the world, different traditions follow different things. As far as Vedic literature is concerned, the rishis have given certain rules and regulations, what one should follow. Now, one who follows this path of spiritual life through the Vedic process, naturally he will have a question, why it is like this? Why it's like this? Why you shouldn't wear shoes when you go inside the temple? Why you should not, why you should bathe every morning or three times a day? Why you should use water to clean yourself? There are a number of questions people can ask, is it not? Especially in the modern world, we have various methods we have found out to make our life comfortable. Is it not? Various methods we are trying to make our life comfortable. There the goal is comfort in life. The rishis did not create these rules for the sake of comfort. That you have to remember. Their intention was not comfort. Their intention was, by bringing these rules, whichever way it is possible, to make you get released from the identity of the body. That was their goal when they made the decisions. It is with that principle they formulated certain rules. Whereas in the modern world, modern science and industry create so many products, make so many products. Their goal is how to make life a lot more comfortable, easy for us, isn't it? That's how they invented the motor cars, automobiles and aeroplanes and so many other things in life, is to make the life more comfortable. It was not intended for to make advancement in spiritual life, is it not? So you can see where it's coming from. Now, the rishis, when they gave us the Shastram, they had only one thought behind it. How should we have the rules in such a way that the person who's following these rules will make advance in spiritual life? This was in their head when they made the rules. Modern world, on the other hand, is thinking how you can make your body comfortable in this world and make life pleasant, in other words. That was not in their rishi's program. So that is why these differences have come. And Krishna is saying here that, if you look at the third verse, Shuddhya Shuddhi Vidhiyetha Samaneshupi Vastushu Dravyasya Vijigilsartham Yunaloshau Shubhashubhau. And all material elements, all the objects in this world is made of five material elements. We are made of five material elements. The objects in this world is also made of five material elements. But because they are made of five material elements, you cannot say that they are all equal. In Vyavaharam, you can't treat them equally. Vyavaharam is not possible. Because I can't go and show into the car showroom and say to the BMW people, look, this is made of five material elements, give it to me. Can you? Or go to the Mercedes garage and say to them that your car is also five material elements, and also the Skoda is also five material elements, and another brand is also five. Where is the difference? Give it. You can't do that. In Vyavaharam, when it comes to, that's not possible.
When it comes to Vyavaharam, so many other things comes into that. So, you can look at it this way also. We drink water. In the West, we are very particular about bacteria and the virus and all that, isn't it? We want to have pure, clean water from the spring, or what do they call it, the water we buy in the bottled water, which has been packaged month or two before in somewhere in the spring somewhere. Now, that water we consider it as pure. But that water, from the Vedic point of view, is very impure. Why? Because it has been bottled. Therefore, it's impure. The fact that it's bottled, it's impure. We will say, oh, this water won't give me any trouble. I'll drink that water. I'll heat the water and drink. So, Krishna's point is that you are thinking that if you take water from a well and drink it, I'm worried that I'll get sick. Because I'm used to this bottled water for so many years. I've been drinking that. Because my Shraddha, my faith is in that bottled water. It has become like that. And so inside, my Antaryami is saying, if you drink this water, you're safe. And I feel comfortable. Antaryami is also comfortable with the bottled water. Now, I go to India and see there, particularly in the most holy place of all, Vrindavanam, in the sewer, the hogs there. That the filthiest of all the water what you can imagine in this world, you will find in that sewer. And these hogs, they drink that water and they are very fatty and very healthy. How will I logicize this? It's also made of 5 material elements. I am also made of 5 material elements. They've got the same intestines, they've got the same liver, kidney, everything like we have got. Shape may be different, but made of the same thing, 5 material elements only. But that hog with his whole family in the sewer drinking that water appears to be very healthy, and it has no virus, it has no bacteria. If I drink that water tomorrow, I'll be lying in the hospital for the rest of the life. Is it not? So this shuddhi, ashuddhi, pure, impure and all, is based on what? That's what Krishna is asking this question. Yeah. Krishna's question is, here is this. That so the drainage water, it has become a tonic for the hogs. And not because it is a hog, it is like that. That reason is that, leave aside the hogs, sometimes children who live in the slums, if you go and land in big cities, there is slums near the airport, you go and look at them, their life, how they live, how hard it is. You'll see often they produce different documentaries about that. Near the airport itself, there will be huge slums. And people living in big, big cities, in very difficult situations, they live. No sanitation, no hygiene, as per our standard. They don't have that. And you will see them playing in the drainage and living like that. And see that they are also surviving. So, and for us, we just have to go anywhere near to that. We become sick. Next day we are sick. So you can see here, based on the person, the rule has changed. Is it not? So this rule what we have created, you can't apply there. Although nowadays we say to them, look, you're not living like us, that's why you got all the problems. They are looking at us and saying, you have got all the problems of life. Why? You people are always fighting and quarreling and killing each other. What else? You're not supposed to be claiming that you are the most advanced people in the society. So that society which lived peacefully in the forest and in the village, they must be laughing at us also in the same way, the so-called advanced society. And that is why these rules and regulations, according to the person, the rule will change. You can't impose one rule for the whole creation. That is why Krishna is saying here. So according to the person, the rule has changed. The rule has changed. So, this shuddhi and ashuddhi, pure and impure, all these decisions are made, Krishna is saying, dravyasya vichikil sartham guna doshav shubha shubhav. Dravyasya, Krishna saying, the shuddhi, ashuddhi and all that, gunam dosham, all these things is that gunadosha soma dravyasya vichikil sartham gunadosha shubha shubhav. Somehow or the other, to bring him out of that karmam, what he is doing, in order to take him out of that karmam. Therefore, in other words, what does that mean? It means the person who is drinking this pure, clean, bottled water, and the person who is drinking the filthy sewer water, both of them are in trouble. Why? Neither of them are coming to spiritual life. You may be drinking bottled water, you may be wearing the best clothes in the world, appearing to be very, very posh or very nicely dressed, and you may be driving the best car in this world. Krishna is saying, that person and the boy or the man who is living in the sewer, there is no difference, because neither of them have come to spiritual life. Do you understand Krishna's point? Krishna is saying, what is it you're talking about? He says, because Krishna can only say one thing to us. If you are not coming to spiritual life, if you are not realizing the truth, whatever you may do, whichever way you live in this world, it's all the same at the end. It doesn't matter how you have passed your life in this world. You may have lived in the best house in this world. You may have dressed up the best way in the possible. You may be eating, sometimes you have to question there also the type of food the so-called advanced people eat. And you may have been thinking that you are all doing the right thing. All the vitamins, proteins and everything you may be taking, and you may be thinking that you are very healthy and all that. Krishna is saying that is all bogus, he says. Because these rules you have made to suit a certain people who are following you. The society has made certain rules and you are going along with it. That's all it is. From the absolute platform, this person and the person who is living in the forest, or whom we call it as uncivilized, or the person who is living in a slum, who doesn't have such a high standard of hygiene or sanitation, they are all in the same category as far as Krishna is concerned. Why? Nobody has inquired about the truth, about the self, and therefore. So Krishna is saying here, according to the dravyam, dravyasya vichikil sartham, according to the dravyam's nature, dravyam, for example, water here is the dravyam. Depending on the person, it will change. As I said before, this water in the bottle, we are drinking happily and we are drinking pure water. If you ask a brahmana at a temple who is doing deity worship, and you tell him, I'll get you the best water from the, which is the one, Avian or whatever, for deity worship. He says, I don't want it. That's not clean. He will throw the whole thing away. He doesn't want it. So brahmana considers the water from the well, or water from the river, or water from the tank is more pure than the water you have brought from the supermarket. He wouldn't accept your water for deity worship. That is the way it is. So based on the person, the qualification of the water has changed, isn't it? This water, what we consider is pure and good for us and all that, healthy and all that, that water is not pure as far as the brahmana is concerned. You can see this in Ramayanam, for example, when that couple, sages, whose child Rishikumara, he went to the river to bring water for the parents' ablutions. They were both blind, isn't it? It was at that time, Sringi, I think. Anyway, so the problem is that the boy went to the river to bring water for the old parents for their morning ablutions. He didn't use any other water. He had to go to the river to bring the water. So why? The river water is considered to be pure. River water is considered, because it's a flowing water and continuously exposed to the sunshine, that water is considered to be pure. And similarly, you can see here also that although both are water, water from the well, water from there, that is why in the olden times, all religious institutions, temples and places like that, they had some source of water around for people to use. So according to the time and people, things will change, rules will change. So it is only based on that we are saying gunam dosham. This gunam dosham, good and bad, has come like this, in this way. So idea behind that is, somehow or the other, to purify us. We want to get purified, that's the goal. Not the body, I mean. We want to get purified in our consciousness. So little by little, to purify us, it is that process, it is on that basis, we have classified all objects into pure and impure. Objects into pure and impure. And so that you follow some dharmam in this world. Dharmam in this world. So, all gunam dosham, is all decided, is only for the purpose of vyavaharam in this world. Loka vyavaharam. That means to keep the society in a peaceful state and everyone can get on with their work in this world. Certain rules and regulations they have set up in that way. And also, in order that the bodily necessities are met, for that purpose also, auspicious, inauspicious way, we have classified everything. If you look at Brahma's body, from Lord Brahma's body, right up to the grass, which is the lowest among the vegetations, isn't it? Both these bodies are made of material elements, including Brahma's body is made of material elements. The only thing is the mixture is different. Instead of mixed the way you are mixed, it's different. So, and the body is made of the same elements, the grass, and the same elements are used in the manufacturing Brahma's body also. And the living force that is in the grass and in Brahma's body is also same, is it not? It's the same living force that is in the Brahma's body. So, whichever way you look at it, if you look at it from the spiritual platform, or if you look at it from the bodily level, from the spiritual point of view, if you look at it, it is made of spirit soul. From the bodily level, if you look at it, it is made of five material elements. There is no difference at all. And what is difference is, we give them a name and form, different name and form, and good and bad, we have made the decision. We have made the decision, good and bad. We consider Brahma's body as good because based on the name and based on the form of Brahma and Brahma's activities and Brahma's position as the personality who has directly received the knowledge from Krishna and who is the creator. In various ways, his functions are different. So we have given a higher position to Brahma and we have given a lower position to the grass. But really, if you look at it, they are both same. Made of same material elements, Brahma and the grass. And the same living force in Brahma and the grass. No difference at all. That is what Krishna, that point, that subtle point is what Krishna is making here. Dravyasya vichikilsartham gunadoshav shubhashubhav. Then why have we given this higher position to Brahma and a lower position to the grass? In our mind, consciousness, we have decided like that. Reason is this, this classification is for this purpose only, that somehow or the other, to generate this understanding in all of us, that the ultimate goal is not to become a grass, rather go up towards the Brahma's position, not to go down into the lower level, rather go up into the higher level. That is why this classification has come. Strictly speaking, Brahma's body is made of material elements, grass is also material elements. The Chaitanyam or living force in Brahma's body is same Atma, and the same Atma is present in the grass also. Why difference then, differentiate then? One level you have to see both are equal. Differentiation is for this purpose, that Namarupam is given to that particular body, Brahma's body, and we have put that on a higher pedestal, on a higher level. and grass on a lower pedestal to say to us, don't become a grass, become a Brahma. That's what it is. Don't become. Therefore, so in order that to say to us, you have to say the difference between the two. You have to differentiate between Brahma and the grass, isn't it? So, therefore, that how to elevate everybody, that's the idea. Idea is those who want to get advanced, elevated. For them to elevate, this kind of difference is necessary, and to qualify them for to reach the truth, to realize the truth. Therefore, Brahma has a higher position compared to the grass. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma is coming all the time, isn't it? Because Brahma is that living entity who has gone very high spiritually. Every time, whenever any incarnation happens, Brahma comes. And then Brahma glorifies Krishna. When Krishna came, Brahma glorified. When Krishna departed from here, Brahma glorified. When Vamanamurti came, Brahma came and glorified. When Gajendra came and Krishna came to bless Gajendra, Brahma came and glorified him. So throughout Bhagavatam you can see Brahma comes every time, isn't it? So Brahma is on a higher pedestal compared to the grass. Why? So that Jiva, the normal living entities, they look at Brahma's life and Brahma's position and see that how Brahma has a higher understanding, higher level of realization, and whereas the grass has nothing. So to look at that and to go up in spiritual life and to encourage us in the spiritual path, Brahma's special position is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam. So, so it is on this concept, based on the place, based on the time, based on the objects, that all kinds of importance is given to different things. Importance is given. And Vedam has given, you will see in the Vedic literature, so many things are spoken, particularly in the Puranam, in the Smriti, and also in the supplementary literature compared to the Upavedam, they call it. All of them, you will see all sorts of injunctions. When you start reading them, you will get confused. What to do? What am I supposed to do? You will think about certain grains, certain vegetables, rules regarding certain vegetables, certain grains, and about the milk, various classifications, cow's milk, goat's milk, buffalo milk, all sorts of things. About meat also, various classification of the meat, certain meat is better than the other meat. And similarly about plants and the trees also, certain trees are auspicious, certain trees are not auspicious. Like this, hundreds and hundreds of classifications in the Vedam exist, is it not? Now, why has Vedam done all these things? The purpose is that, and that is Gunadosham. That is Gunadosham, isn't it? To make sure this is good and this is bad. It is on the basis of that they have given all these different decisions based on this. Even if you take the Tulasi plant, which is used for Krishna's worship, there's about 5 or 6 different kinds of Tulasi also. Rama Tulasi, Krishna Tulasi, this Tulasi, that. There also question will come, why this Tulasi is better than the other Tulasi? And if you say to the Ayurvedic physician, he will say, I can use this Tulasi for preparing the medicine, and that Tulasi I can't use it. Like this, Gunam Dosham, Gunam Dosham. We also have the same thing. We are thinking all these rules are absolute. What is there? I'll tell you some of the funny things what we do ourselves. Some people among the Vaishnavas, they won't eat tomato. Say it's like blood, they say. Somebody else says carrot, it looks like red, we can't eat it. And they will hold on to it so tight. If somebody by chance gives them a carrot, they'll say, oh no, I can't eat the carrot because it's not allowed. We are Vaishnavas, we can't eat that. Somebody else says, we won't eat tomato because tomato looks like blood when you cut the tomato. So I can't eat the tomato, he says. Now, these rules are there. Nobody is denying that. This is all coming from where? It's coming from Vedam. That's the source where it's coming from. Similarly, some vegetables, for example, some people won't eat. Some sannyasi says eggplant is in tamogunam. He won't eat that. He doesn't want eggplant. Some other people say that if you take even the quality of the rice, there is various qualities of rice, isn't it? Basmati is there. Then long grain rice. This is what we find here. But if you go into villages in India, you will see another 10-20 different varieties of rice, which is not basmati. And plus, the scientists have done another good job. They have made some kind of, crossbreeding, different kind of genes, and they have created some new varieties. They say this kind of rice will give you more production, more quantity will come out. From the same land, you can produce more quantity, and because the population is increasing, we will produce more. So the many of the original seeds of the rice grain, I'm only talking about the rice now, many of the original seeds, they have all disappeared now. What we have now is this modern developed varieties by the scientists, IR8, IR9, they have a series of them which are used by the farmers because the production is very high, the quantity of rice you produce from that. Quality and all don't ask, but production quantity is very high. Now added, after all this research work so many years, this genetically modified thing, food, that's coming now in the market, isn't it? It's a lot of that there also. And scientists are saying to poor countries that you don't have to starve, we have got the technology for that, to produce another kind of varieties of food, you can use them and they are okay. In appearance, they all look the same. Rice. It is rice, this is also rice, basmati is also rice, and throne is also rice. Everything is rice only. Even in the basmati, if you look, how many varieties exist? Loads of them. If you look into the shops, you will see. All have got their own, their own spin on that, on their marketing technique, to particular brand of rice. So when you see all these things, and if you have to cook rice and offer to the deity, which one should you offer? Which is the best? How will you make the decision? It becomes difficult, isn't it? So Krishna's point is this, that dravyam, these are all dravyam, all these varieties of food, varieties of grain. In the wheat also, I'm sure the same thing exists. Drum wheat, durum wheat, all kinds of wheat. I don't know much about the wheat. I know only about the rice, what I've learned. But if you look at the wheat quality also, if you look onto the package, you will see it written there. This is coming, the durum wheat, they say. And then sometimes you will see that on the cheese, if you look, how many varieties of cheese they are selling in the market? All these varieties is based on what? Dravyam, Krishna is saying here, Desham Kalam Padartham. These are not absolute rules. What they write on that packet is to promote that goods to sell. For that purpose they have done that. Similarly, in Vedam also, so many products, so many objects, not only on the objects, even among the human species, they have divided. Vedam has divided us into that. But the idea behind all these things is only one thing, he says. Vedam divides with one purpose. What is that purpose? Somehow or the other, in their karmam, what karmam they do, in swabhavyam, swabhavyam means natural karmam, what they do. Initially, they should give up their karmam and come to vaidika karmam. Swabhavika karmam means karmam according to your desires. So to say desires. Suppose I have desire. Like today, that is what is happening, isn't it? Most of the people, some people, you can see some people, the kind of desires they have inside. Somebody wants to fly, so what does he do? He wants to become a pilot. And then he says he is looking for an opportunity to become an astronaut. Somehow he has a great fascination for going to other planets, going to the space and things like that. So that is his vasana inside. That person has that vasana inside. And accordingly he develops his career in that direction. But Vedam is saying to us You may have different vasanas in you, but in order to discipline you, you have to come to certain standard, and that is Vaidika Karma. Vaidika Karma is based on that. Vaidika Karma means that, you remember, Krishna has classified this based on Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Four karma, four divisions in the society based on your vasana. But you remain within the framework of that law. That you don't go crazy because you have some vasana inside you. Just like you can see now that because some people have that vasana to go to the space, go to the other planets, they are going to spend any amount of money that is necessary in that, in their adventure, in other words, isn't it? That's an adventure for them. Because that vasana is very strong inside. You can see that Virgin is offering now flights to other space and all that kinds of things. A lot of money they are asking, and a lot of people have a desire to do that also. Why? The vasana is inside. What can you do? So Krishna's point is that similarly, if we let you go free, this is how you will act. So what is required then is that you have to be brought under some discipline. And that discipline is this varnam and dharmam, varnashrama dharmam. That means you don't do karmam what you like, but you do karmam and your karma vasana, let it go through some particular disciplined way. And that is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. That is how these four varnam has come into existence. That means from nishiddha karmam, you are come to Vaidika karmam. Vaidika karmam, what it does is, it does not go haywire, allowing you to go freely to do, according to your mind, to do whatever you like. Rather, it says to you, okay, if you have a desire for manufacturing, if you have a desire for technology and things like that, remain in this framework, within this framework, and you produce what is necessary for the society. Produce what is necessary for the society. Only that you should produce. And you should use what you have produced. This is the principle. You should only produce what is necessary for the society, and you should use what you have produced. You should not use anything else what you have not produced. Whereas that's not the principle today, is it? Everybody, everywhere in the world, what's going on now? Looking for more resources, they are saying, natural resources, gas, oil, precious metals like gold, and so many things like that, copper. Wherever it's available, go and dig, get it out, everywhere. Unbelievable, this is nishiddha karma. This is not allowed. That means in this process, we will destroy ourselves at the end. That's what will happen, isn't it? We will go, and you can already see the impact of that on the world, on the planet, because of this approach in life, that wherever Alaska, no problem, we'll get the oil from there. North Sea, no problem, we'll get the oil from there. Copper in Australia, in the desert, no problem, we'll get it from there. We need it. Why? Because the industry has to keep running. This is madness. This madness is what has caused all the problem. So Krishna's point is that this is nishiddha karma. So to bring us out of this nishiddha karma and to get at least ourselves, according to our vasana, to set up certain rules so that you work within a framework. And that framework is varna dharma, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. So Krishna says, unless you come from nishiddha karma to Vaidika karma, and finally what? From Vaidika karma to get completely out of karma. That is the goal. To get completely out of karma is the goal, isn't it? Because we know karma means what? Bondage. Karma vasana, karma bhalam, karma bandhanam. Bondage will happen. So final goal is to get ourselves out of karma. But prior to that, from nishiddha karma to vaidika karma, and again from vaidika karma to release from karma once for all. That is why it is spoken like that. And make everyone, all the jiva who is interested in spiritual life, to make them qualified for realizing the truth, self-realization, in other words. Only then it will happen, because if somebody is completely absorbed in karma in this world, it is very difficult for him to take to spiritual life. Impossible it is. Unless through karma, he makes his karma as karma yogam and karma shuddhi, and through that mana shuddhi, and through that chitta shuddhi, and through that way he comes to inquire about the self and the knowledge. All that things will only happen later date in life. But initially everyone is caught up in this thing called karma. So here, it is on this principle what you find in the Vedam, what the rishis have spoken. That's all we have to understand. That's the most important thing. Rishis have, this is the underlying principle, in other words. It is based on this underlying principle that the rishis have formed the rules and regulations in the Vedam. That is how much we have to understand. So therefore, because it is like that, when you read certain rules and regulations, you don't need, even if you have not understood the purpose behind it, you don't have to feel bad about it. Sometimes people say like that, isn't it? That you, certain rules and regulations, Vedam will say certain things. Vedam says to us, don't sleep in the early hours in the morning. Wake up, don't sleep. You may not understand why. And doctor is telling us, you should have a very good sleep in the early hours in the morning. Because that's the best time. They said you will get up very fresh and you will have a lot of energy to do a lot of nishiddha karmam throughout the day. That is doctor's philosophy. Doctors mean science. Science is telling us, isn't it? There's always discussion how many hours one should sleep. Always you will see. Somebody says 6 hours, somebody says 7 hours, somebody says 8 hours, somebody says 10 hours, somebody says 24 hours if you sleep, it's good. Because sleep is such a good thing. That's, they have also come to that conclusion. So all these opinions exist in this world. And but similarly in Vedam also, there is rules and regulations in the same way. Don't sleep in the morning. Wake up early hours in the morning. And go to bed early. And don't sleep a lot, but at least 6 to 7 hours one should sleep. Keep the senses under control, mind under control. Engage in spiritual activities in the morning, spiritual activities in the evening. Like these injunctions in the Vedam. Now, if you ask the question, why can't I get up in the afternoon? Don't ask that question. There is a reason behind it. That is why it is. And if you don't know the answer, why it is so, don't get concerned over it too much. Because don't go to criticize them. That is the point Krishna is making here. That rules have been done by the rishis with certain thoughts behind it. You may not know that thought. I may not know that thought. But there must be a reason behind it. Many, many things are there like that when you get into deity worship. There are so many things like this about deity worship and about our life in this world, about dressing in a particular way, about eating habits. There are so many rules and regulations. All this has been brought in for certain reasons, Krishna says. You don't have to worry about and question all of that. There is no need for that. That is Krishna's point. If you are not understood, don't think that it has no meaning and throw it away. There is some meaning behind it. Because all of them is not subject to logic. It's not subject to logic. And these rules also will change according to the situation. According to the situation, and it will also change according to the place and according to the people, individuals. It can change. Then why all these instructions? That is the next verse. Why all these instructions? Dharmartham vyavahārartham yātrārtham iti chānakha darshitoyam mayācāro dharmam uddhohadām dhuram. See that next verse, fourth verse in the 21st chapter. The fourth verse is that. That's the answer. Krishna is saying, dharmartham vyavahārartham yātrārtham iti chānakha darshitoyam mayācāro dharmam uddhohadām dhuram. Dharmam uddhohadām dhuram. Krishna says to Uddhava, anakha. Anakha means sinless. Addressing Uddhava, who is sinless, he says to him, for the sake of dharmam, for the sake of vyavaharam, and for the sake of maintaining the body. For the sake of maintaining the body. these rules have come into existence. For example, some karma, if you look at it from the eyes of dharma, that karma is pure. That karma is pure. But if you look at that karma through vyavaharam, it is impure. This is another problem. This is another problem. See, some karma, if you look at it through dharmam, it is pure. If you look at it through vyavaharam, it is impure. All kinds of, because in the Bhagavad Gita, you know how what Krishna says about this? Gahana karmano gadi. This complex thing called karma, it is such a, what do they call it, quagmire. That's the only thing you can say. To get a proper understanding of that and to say what is right and what is wrong is the most difficult thing, even for learned people. Krishna is saying this in the Bhagavad Gita. Gahana karmano gadi, he says. Karma is such a complex phenomenon. And that complexity increases when Krishna says this, that one level that karma is dharmam, that's your dharma. But on another level, it is vyavaharam, it is adharmam, it is impure. Take for example, just to give you one example. You know, in this problem now happening in so many parts of the world, fighting going on, in the name of Arab Spring, or what do they call it? Arab Spring, I think. There was problems in Libya. There was problems in Egypt. And there was now problems in Syria. And if you think about that problem, I'm not interested in the political side of it, but look at it from our dharmam side. That look at it this way, that a lot of people are getting killed at the end. Hundreds and thousands of people are getting killed. And the authority who rules the administration of the country is saying that that they are against us, and they have their arguments for that. And these rebels also, they have their own arguments. And the worldwide leaders are also confused. What is the right thing to do, isn't it? One group of people are saying, we have to stop killing. We have to stop killing. But in order to stop killing, we have to kill more people. See how complex the whole thing is. So many people are saying we have to send army there, weapons there to stop killing. But in order to stop killing, we have to kill many others in that process. And there is no answer to all these questions. If you ask what's the answer? So what happens is, they all are unsure about themselves, what they are doing. But they are just doing things because they are convinced that if they don't do anything, that's also a wrong thing. So many unfortunate people, innocent people are getting killed, and we have got the strength to stop it. If we don't stop it, that's also wrong. So we should interfere in that. We should get involved, they are saying. And they're going and getting involved in that. And they know very well the result may not be what they expect from that. It can be anything else. It happened in Iraq, isn't it? They went with one. Now everybody is saying it was a disaster. The ones who did that, they're also saying it was a disaster. Some people are saying it was okay. But many people are saying because there is still war going on there. Nothing has come to an end. You've gone there to stop the war. What has happened? War continued. And the same thing goes on all the time. Any war, if you look at it, these things will happen. Krishna is saying to us that this rules and regulations, every rule, if you do not take to spiritual life and self-realization, you are in the jurisdiction of all these rules and you will be completely baffled by the rules. Because you are playing by the rule, but still the results are not coming the way what you want it. Is it not? You are thinking that, oh, I should stop killing. Innocent people should not be killed in this world. So we are, one country saying that we'll send the army, we'll send the weapons, everything. In that process, the whole thing flares up and everything ends up finally in a disaster. And you don't know what will happen. And like that, you can see it has happened in so many places, not only in Iraq, it has happened in Afghanistan. And what will happen there, nobody knows. So material nature, she has her own way of balancing things in this world. And if we try to interfere in all these things and thinking that we have got the answer to all these questions, that will be foolishness. We don't have the answer. We don't have the answer. Krishna's answer to all the problem is, he says, if you take to spiritual life and realize yourself and escape from here, that's the answer. That's the only answer to the problem. Not to sort the problems of this world. It is never going to be sorted, and it will always remain one way or the other. It will cause problems. So that is why spiritual life is more important than anything else, than any other solution to the problem. Even Mahabharat war, what happened at the end? Chadu Panjava Sheshida. Duryodhana asking Yudhishthira Maharaj, you have killed everybody, everyone is killed. What is there for you to rule now? Four or five people. You have become the king of four or five people. Chadu Panjava Sheshida. That is what was the result of the war. So Mahabharatam war happened under Krishna's guidance, isn't it? Krishna said the war should happen. So many people were killed in that war. And at the end, what was left behind? Nothing. Nothing was there to rule. So Yudhishthira says, what for? Why did I fight this war? The same question what leaders are asking today, then also the same questions were there in front of the leaders. Is it not? Yudhishthira was also asking the same question. And that is why Yudhishthira got upset with Krishna because of this. Yudhishthira says to Krishna that you are supposed to stop this war, but you are the one who has instigated the whole thing. And finally, Krishna had to take Yudhishthira to Bhishma, and Bhishma had to speak to Yudhishthira that you have not done anything wrong. So for the same token, if you look at the leaders today, they are also going through the same confusion what Yudhishthira went through 5,000 years ago. Is there any difference? Same crisis inside. Is this the right thing to do? So, but Krishna's point is, don't worry about this Maya. Krishna is the only person who says this, that in Maya, anything can happen. That's not your problem. Your problem is to realize what you are and get out of this. Get out of this mess. And don't try to manage the world. That's not your problem. That's Krishna's problem. Managing world is Krishna's problem, not our problem. Your problem is, Krishna says, that I've given you this human body. Nrideha madhyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam mayanu kulena napasvaderidam puman bhavabdhyam nataretsa almaha. That is what Krishna's advice to us, not to sort out the other problems. So, in that process, Krishna is saying here, dharmartham, vivahararartham, yatrartham, iti janaka, Krishna says, dharmam, vivaharam, yatra. Based on this, these things will change. Pure and impure things will change. That, Krishna says here, that Shuddhi and Ashuddhi will change based on that. That is what Krishna is saying in these points here. He said that this is a general review of the things. For example, general means you shouldn't look at them from an absolute level. It's not absolute because it's changing. It is within the jurisdiction of Maya. Therefore, it is subject to change. Rules and regulations are subject to change. Now, in the Vedam, this is one example. In order to perform sacrifice, you know the Yagam, or which is mentioned, Yajnam or Yagam, as Krishna says, Rajasuyam, Adhiratram, Agnishtomam, and all that. To perform those Yagam and sacrifice, you should do them only where there is Krishnamargam. Krishnamargam is a particular kind of deer. Wherever they are present, that land is suitable for performing yagam, performing sacrifices. You will see in the Bhagavadam many, many great personalities like Prithu Maharaj, Prithu, Prachina Barhis. They are great personalities who have performed sacrifices. If you look at Prachina Barhis, you will see that he has selected a certain area suitable for performing sacrifices, for performing sacrifices. He says the space between Ganga river and Yamuna river flows. That place is suitable for yagam, says the Shastram. On the basis, on that basis, Prachina Barhis has performed many, many sacrifices there. Similarly, Prithu also, Prithu Maharaj. And so many other kings, great, great personalities in the Solar Dynasty and the Lunar Dynasty, they will, when they perform sacrifices, they will make sure that the land is suitable for performing sacrifices. Many parts of India, they say it's not suitable for sacrifices. Only certain selected areas are suitable for that. And that, who will tell you that? Those who are very learned in the yagam or shastra. They are the that branch of brahmanas who are trained in that particular somayajis and all what they are called. They will know this land is suitable, this land is not suitable. And accordingly they will perform the sacrifices. So that is why Krishna is saying there, if you look into the 8th verse, we'll come back to the others later. There Krishna is saying, Akrishna Saro Deshanam Abrahmanyo Ashuchir Bhavet Krishna Saropi Sauviram Kikada Samskriderinam. See that verse, 8th verse. Akrishna Saro, this Shuddhi and Ashuddhi, that is what Krishna is speaking here. You may ask, what is the relevance of all this to your spiritual life today? That question will naturally going through your mind. Why do I have to know all these things? These things are required because Krishna is saying to Uddhava that things are not as simple as you think about spiritual life. There's a lot of things which affects your spiritual life. See, because we don't know the background well, often we think, why results are not coming? Why it's not happening? Why it's not happening? We are always thinking like that, isn't it? There are many factors that influences our spiritual life. It's not only your effort that makes it happen. In spiritual life, and when you study this shastram, you can see that from time immemorial, the Vedic philosophy gave a lot of importance to rules and regulations, many things which are associated with shastram. That is how they are giving us instructions based on that these things are favorable, these things are not favorable. It's not just that what we think in our mind alone is the factor that makes the decision. So it is in that context Krishna is saying to Uddhava, because anyone who comes to spiritual life, he has to have some discipline first in life. And that discipline means that he has to change his way of life. To some extent it's necessary. And in order to change that life, he has to follow rules and regulations. Rules and regulations are necessary. We can't come to spiritual life. Now that I come to spiritual life, tell me what I have to do. No, it's not like that. First thing to understand what is required in spiritual life, and because of our mind, our body and our vasanas are so different, each one of us, we need to make that to come under certain discipline, and therefore Varnashrama Dharma has come. And once Varnashrama Dharma has come, in that jurisdiction of Varnashrama Dharma, there are a number of things which affects our spiritual growth, It is in that context Krishna is speaking all these things. So when you listen to that, you will understand that these rules and regulations does have, in a subtle level, some impact on us. So here Krishna is saying, Akrishna Saro Deshanam Abrahmanyo Ashuchir Bhavet Krishna Saropya Sauviram Kikada Samskriderinam. Places where there is Krishna Saram means this particular deer, Krishna Saram, is not there. And a place where people do not respect Brahmanas. I'm not talking about the caste now, talking about people who have got Brahminical qualities. If you have no respect for Brahminical qualities, and place where Krishna Saram, a Krishna Saram, that means that particular deer which is not there, that land generally is not suitable for sacrifices, he's saying here. And for example, in some places there may be deer may be there, but there is no pious people there.
Brahminical quality, with people with Brahminical qualities. They are not there. And such places are not suitable for performing sacrifices. He mentions here, Sauviram Kikada Samskriderinam. He says, Angam, Vangam, Kalingam. Three lands are mentioned. And desert, all these places, or where there is not much of a samskaram. All those places are not suitable for performing sacrifices. Krishna says like that here. And he also mentions here that the Krishnasaram, animals are there, that deer is there, if there is no brahmanas there, when we say brahmana means people with brahminical qualities, if they are not there, that place is also not suitable. Also Krishna says, for every object, Krishna divides them into pure and impure. For example, grains. How will they become pure? How will the grains become pure? Grains come from the field. After harvesting, you bring them to the field, from the field. Similarly, how to make them pure? How cloth becomes pure? How cloth becomes pure? To example, generally in the past, when cloth, manufactured cloth, when it is brought from the mill or from the shops, it's never worn. It's never worn. It's always first dipped in the water. So the understanding is that if it is dipped in the water, and you bring it out, the cloth, although cloth is clean, but it is impure. If you just dip it in the water and if you take it out and dry it, then it's become pure. This is how the cloth becomes pure. I know you may find all this very funny, all these rules, because these things don't exist anymore, isn't it? We see the shirt, and buy the shirt from the market. And we put it on, and if it fits, it's fine. Or if, what we are concerned about, is it a designer shirt or not? That's what we are looking at. From the Vedic point of view, it's not. No matter what it is, dhoti or kurta or whatever, sari or whatever it is, it's never worn first. It's only pure. This is people who have got acharam, who follows the rules, I'm saying this. This is the Vedic system, that's what I'm saying. That, and this will change, this rule will change from place to place, isn't it? In the Vedic tradition, they followed that you bring it, dip it in the water, dry it, and then you can wear it. Otherwise, you can't wear it. Now, you go come here and you say to someone, oh, buy a new shirt or something and dip it in the water, only then you can wear it. They will ask why. It's clean, it's come fresh, and you will wear it for a week or so and then you change it. So based on that, the purification of that cloth is by dipping in the water. Is by dipping in the water. Purification of the grain, for example, say for example rice or anything, after it is cooked, washed and cooked, it is pure. Washed and cooked, it is pure. So, therefore, there are many places in this world where people eat food very raw without cooking. You can't say that's impure, but for that place, that's the kind of food available. And that's the food you have to eat, because human body is surviving based on that food. So you can't say that is impure. You have to say that is because based on the place, the rule has changed. In one place, you have to cook the food and you have to wash the food. Only then you have to cook and then eat it, and that is acceptable. In another place, a different kind of food and a different way it is consumed by the society. But there also it's pure, here also it's pure. It's not, so both are considered to be acceptable. Weather. In one place, weather is favorable. Another place, weather is not favorable. For example, in a warm weather, in a very hot weather, in a temple,
when they do the deity worship, they won't wear any shirt or any kind of jacket or anything. But if you go to Badrinath and Kedarnath, and if you tell the priest there that you have to do your deity worship in the same standard like you did in the hot weather, that's not possible. You'll get sick the next day. So for him, he is also doing the same deity worship like the other person. But for him, it's not impure to wear some clothes on the body while doing the deity worship. And the same thing is considered bad in the hot weather if you're wearing so many clothes on the body while doing the deity worship. Two different situations. The rule has changed, isn't it? So, if you ask the question, how is that fresh cloth you have brought from the shop, just by dipping in the water it has become pure? If you ask that logic, there is no answer to that. There is no answer to that. All we know, water has the purifying capacity. Water didn't change anything because the cloth what you have purchased is clean and it's every way wearable. You can wear it. But still you won't wear it. It has to be dipped in the water for this reason. So if you ask the question, is that not ignorance, all these things? Yes, it is ignorance. Only if you are a realized soul. If you are a realized soul, all this is ignorance. This kind of rules, what we are talking about. It's an ignorance if you are a realized soul. If you are not a realized soul, all these rules apply. That is it. That's the way to see it. That's the way to see it. This rule don't apply to you if you are realized. Because all this is vyavaharam at the end. It's all vyavaharam. So even in Srimad Bhagavatam, which talks about the highest Vedantam, they are talking about all this vyavaharam also. See that? See the funny thing. The Vedantam, which is the highest on the spiritual level, and Bhagavatam is discussing that Vedantam, isn't it? All Bhagavatam is nothing but Vedantam. In a very higher level it is spoken. Krishna is talked about the Uddhava. And that Vedantam is discussing this Vyavaharam also. Vyavaharam also. So, little by little, little it has spoken like this. All these things is not applied to those who have come to this modern world. Although these things are there, and our generation or most of the new young generations, for them all this does not have any importance. Because it is not of importance to them. Reason is that about Shuddhi and Ashuddhi, pure and impure, you can't tell them anything. They never knew about it before. They never thought about it. So, just like if you go to the villages in India, they will say, oh, if you want to tell them that, oh, you have to bathe, they will think about going to the tank or a lake to bathe. For them, bathing inside the house itself is considered to be impure. They consider that impure. They'll say, oh, if you want, as soon as you go into some of the old houses where they follow traditions, it's getting less and less now, very little now. But even 40, 50 years ago, if somebody came home, the first thing you tell them, go and bathe and come back. Either go, if there is a river nearby, go to the river, or if there is a tank nearby, go to the tank. And if you bathe and come back, then you can get into the house, otherwise not. This was the conditions then. But now you get into the house first, and then you may look for your best bathroom, where you got everything. And so you can see the concept has changed. And in the modern world, you can't apply that old rule because all the rivers have dried up, all the tanks have gone. So the only place where you can bathe is at home. And you are thinking that you are pure, but what you have to remember is this water that is coming to the... Suppose you are living in a multi-storied flat in London, say in a 18-storey or 20-storey, which they are building multi-storey flats. You are living on the 14th or say second floor or third floor or on the 14th floor, doesn't matter. The water that is coming to your building, is that pure? It has gone through the toilets, bathrooms of so many floors of so many people, and it has come to your floor. Fine. And it is in that water you are bathing. So whose water is cleaner? The man who has gone and bathed in the tank or in the river, who is he cleaner? Or the man in the 14th floor, whose water supply has come from the water supply company, which has come through his pumping, that has done through everyone's flat, it has come through his toilets, bathrooms, because there is a mains coming, and it is water is connected to all the different floors, isn't it? It's one mains that's coming. Not only it's coming from all other floors, it's also coming from the rest of the city also. It's all connected with all, everyone's bathroom, toilets are all interconnected in one sense, through the water, isn't it? So, would you say that your water is the pure water? Or would you say that water flowing in the river is purer? So, these are the things you have to... So, if you say this to a young man who has grown up, born in London and grown up in London, and who lives, he has got a flat in his 10th or 12th floor, you tell him your water is not pure, he won't be able to accept it. And if he comes to a village in India and tell him, you go and bathe in the river, he says, oh, it looks so dirty, he says. So this concept of cleanliness and dirtiness is all inside, based on what Krishna is saying here. That's what the point Krishna is making. It's all in your understanding, you have saying. But generally, in the Vedic system was that you go to an open place where there is flowing water and bathe in them was considered to be a higher way of cleanliness. Purity. Again, that is a vyavaharam only. It's within the jurisdiction of Maya. Don't think that also is absolute. So, this rule can change from place to place. That's what the point Krishna is making. Shuddhi, pure, impure, is all based on place, time, and the people, and circumstances. And that is what that point Krishna is making here. You can see, dharmartham, vyavahartham, yatrartham. Rules can change. Based on dharmam, based on vyavaharam, based on yatra. Just like an example. When you are living at home, you can follow certain rules and regulations, isn't it? When you are at home, you can follow certain rules and regulations. As far as the time of eating, type of food what you eat, you have certain control over it at home. Say you go to places like... this Chardham Yatra, Kedarnath, Badrinath, and all those places. First of all, there is not very much food grown there. It's just top of the mountains, isn't it? Full of ice and glaciers and all that. I don't know now, but about 20 years ago, accommodation was also very, very difficult. What they could offer you was some kind of dharmashala or chowltry, where if you get into the room, that room has been used by hundreds and thousands of people. Nobody changes the quilts, nobody changes the bed sheets. That is there. That once it's put in, it's there forever. And you go and sleep in that bed if you want to sleep. Otherwise, you have no choice. You have to lie in the snow outside. It's that cold outside. So what do you do? Whatever that's been given, you'll say, oh, that's what it is. I'm going to sleep here. If I want to maintain the same standard at home, in a place like that, that's not possible. That's what Krishna is saying, yatrartham. Yatrartham means, while making your journey, but these things may be bad, that does not mean Badrinath is bad. It's the holiest of all the holy places. Your facilities may change. That means in vyavaharam, your facilities and your shuddhi, ashuddhi and all may be not the same what you are thinking at home. But on the spiritual level, all the great sages are there performing their penances, isn't it? These places, Kedaram, Badri and all that, they are the place. Uddhava went to Badri. Devapi went to Badri. Devapi is the last one in the solar dynasty who went to Badri. All other, Muchukunda went to Badrinath. Dhruva Maharaj went to Badrinath. Like this, if you look into Bhagavatam, so many great, great personalities, final days, they spend in Badrinath, Kedarnath, and places like that. So how can you say that places are not spiritual? They are highly spiritual places. But when it comes to your vyavaharam, you may not have the same thing what you do at home. Your standard of cleanliness, standard of hygiene and sanitation, all this is very, very difficult in those places. Probably it's changing, and the result you can see what's happening now. When they gone and built all sorts of things there, disasters happen one after the other. But anyway, in its previously, whether it was Kedaram or Badri or those places, accommodation facility, transport facility, they don't have motorways or anything. The donkeys and the horses you have to take shelter of. But the people who live there, their consciousness is very good. That they are such good people in their heart that when you speak to them, you can see that simplicity in them and their light-heartedness and their lifestyle that impress anyone who has some spiritual understanding of life. Their purity in them. But if you look at them externally from our point of view, they are not pure, they are not clean, they are not, their diet is not like the way we would eat what we consider as a good diet. They don't have a good diet. They don't have a very high standard of hygiene and sanitation, what we consider. But in spite of that, on a spiritual platform, they are on a much higher level. They exist. So this is the point Krishna is making here, that dharmartham, vyavahartham, yatrartham. In three ways, these rules can change from place to place, from people to people, and according to the object what you are dealing with, dravyam. Dravyam. Dravyam means the things what you do or what you are utilizing in your life. All these things can change, Krishna is saying here. So therefore, what Vedam says, when a situation is like this, you will notice that suppose you want to do deity worship at home and the only water available is water from the pipe, is it not? And you know very well this water from the pipe is not all the pure water. You know that. That's not the very best of the water. It must have been pumped to somewhere and it is coming through all the pipelines that's been laid throughout the country and water is getting pumped. They are also saying a lot of water is getting leaked also everywhere. That means water is in contact with everything else in the pipeline, outside, inside. Only thing what they have done, they have put a lot of chlorine into it and told us it's all very pure. And we have accepted that, isn't it? That's what it is. So just like they have put chlorine and purified it, the rishis also have a way of purifying. What's their purification process? They say, you bring water from the pipe, we'll purify it. How? They'll put darbha into it and sing this mantra. What is that mantra? Mantra is this. Om apavitra apavitrova sarva vastu su sarvada yasmaret pundari gaksham tatho abhyantara shuchi. That's the mantra. You will see devotees singing this also in the temple for fire sacrifices and all that. They will sing this mantra. What does mantra say? It says, apavitra pavitrova. Whatever I am offering, it is either pure or impure. I don't know. Whatever it may be. Sarva vastusu sarvada. In all situations, if I remember about Krishna, yasmaret pundarigaksham tada abhyandara shuji. Let Krishna purifies everything that is inside me and everything that is outside me. You chant this mantra and you put darbha in the water and the water is pure. That's what they are saying. Just like our scientists are saying, I put enough chlorine, it is pure for you. There's not much difference in all these things. This is why Krishna is making fun of all these rules and regulations. He says, don't get caught up in all this. We are sitting there in front of the fire sacrifice and the priest, special Hindu priest who has arrived there, he's singing this. Oh, everybody is very carefully listening to it, thinking that, oh, what a powerful mantra he's chanting. Om, Abhavi, and with this Om itself, everyone gets completely carried away by that. Om avavitra avavitrova sarva vastasu sarvada yasmarel pundariga aksham tadho abhyandara shuchi. Abhyandara means inside and outside, all let it become pure, he is saying. And you have brought so many things for the fire sacrifice. And if you take all the ingredient and start looking at it, the fire sacrifice, not one of them is pure. Milk is not pure, You have brought all the bottled milk from Tesco or Sainsbury, and if you look back into the history of the milk, where it came from, is that milk pure? What are the cows have been fed? You don't know. How it has been milked? You don't know. So, starting from the milk, the water, and then you look at the bananas that has been brought in. It's brought from South America, airlifted. Before that, treated with acetylene gas to make it ripe, to look nice. And this is what we are offering into the fire. And then we are bringing the best apples from South Africa, which is nicely polished with that special thing. And in appearance, it looks beautiful, as though it's freshly plucked from the apple tree. But before you eat it, if you don't wash it, you will get sick. That's the apple. Like that, everything, what is pure today in this world, if you think about it. And this will get worse as the demand goes up. More and more people get busy with industry, less people in the agriculture. Whatever we produce, we have to make it impure only. But Krishna is saying that this mantra is enough. Everything is pure after that. Om apavitra apavitrova. Devotees all know this mantra. You know that. All devotees learn this mantra. Because if you want to do this priest business, you have to know this mantra. Otherwise you can't. This is all useless at the end. Spiritual life, this is has no importance. But if you want to keep the society going, if that's what your goal is, and to keep those business going, then you have to know all this mantra. And some priests are not even learning. They've got a printed sheet. They keep that sheet and looking and chanting. So you can imagine what the benefit of all this is at the end. Om apavitra pavitrova sarvavastasu sarvada yatsmarel pundarigacham sadha abhyandara shuchi. That's all. I'm remembering about Krishna and I'm offering everything to you, and please accept that. Make everything pure first. This is the benefit of this mantra. So this is like this. There are so many other mantras also. For marriage there is so many mantram. For birthday there are so many mantram. For haircut there is so many mantram. And people are learning. They are busy with all this mantram. Everything has been done properly. They say now on the life is going to be fantastic because all the mantram has been chanted. And what happens after all the mantrams has been chanted? Marriage ceremony is done. Next day they are going for the divorce. So what has gone wrong? It's worthwhile thinking about it, isn't it? So somebody said, no, the mantras were not chanted properly. That's why it has happened, they said. So people get confused also. If you introduce all this Vedic culture in this way, what will end up is, without knowing the goal of all these things, Krishna says, don't take all these things very seriously. This is Krishna's advice here in the Bhagavatam. These are not what you are here for. You are here for what Krishna says, Nrdeha madhyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam mayani kulena napasvaderidam puman bhavabdhim nataretsa almaha. That is what Krishna has got to say to us. Anyway, because this vidhinishedam issue came up, Krishna had to put it to us in the proper way so that you don't get carried away by all this. You know how many devotees are caught up in this? And there is so many books written on that. This thing, astrology, another thing. This is one thing going on. This vidhinishedam, they have created so many books based on this. And they say, this Goswami wrote this, that Goswami wrote this, and then they translated all that into English. And then courses started. What happens when the book's published? Course starts immediately after that. A seminar comes. Then a specialist comes, expert comes after that. He comes with this book. Here is a course for you. This is what you need. They say, everybody runs after that. £30 a course. Go and attend this course also. If you ask him, what did you learn after all this? What did you benefit from you? Oh, no, he said that your son needs all these things before he is born. All these things. And you have done all these. What do they call it as? Garbhadhanam, Pumsavanam, all the samskaram. Whole book is available with volumes and volumes written on that. And the priests are busy with this so that the devotees can become devotees. And after doing all these things, the child is born, he becomes a demon at the end. Then you start doubting Vedam itself. You start thinking, what's wrong with the Vedam? I've done everything what I was told. Everything was mentioned to me that if you do this samskaram and that samskaram and that samskaram, the son will be perfect, pure devotee from the birth itself. But he didn't. Instead, he turned out to be just the opposite of that.
So we have to be careful, all these things, when we take it on board. Krishna is saying here that that he says, you chant this mantra, it's enough, and you do it, that's enough for me, that's enough for Asuras is concerned. So later on in the 28th chapter, when Krishna talks about Kriya Yogam, he will say this very clearly. Bhakti is not based on all these things. Bhakti, Krishna says, what does bhakti means? He defined bhakti very well, isn't it? Vidyade hridaya grandi, chidyande sarva samshayaha, kshiyande chasya karmani, drishta eve akhilalpmani. That is bhakti. If you are not getting to that, but getting stuck with all these kind of things, then Krishna is saying, you have lost it. You didn't make it. That is the point Krishna is making there. So sometimes flowers for the deity worship. Lot of flowers is produced in Amsterdam, isn't it? Tulips and so many other things. You see huge quantities of flowers coming, airlifted from there. And those who are growing these flowers, they know very well that in order to get the right color of the flower and to look fresh, they know what chemicals to add to the flower. Would you call that flower as pure? What's coming? And you are buying that from the shop thinking that I brought flowers for Krishna from the shop and the flower looks beautiful. Appearance it looks good, but often you will see that behind that appearance there is a big technology working. So that is the point Krishna is making here. So so therefore what Krishna says about that is that you don't worry about all those things, about the quality of the flower, quality of the milk, quality of the water, quality of the fruits, quality of the grains, whatever you are bringing. He said, if you are a devotee, yadyadishtadamam loke yachadi priyamalpana tattan nivedayan mahyam tada anandyaya kalpade. That is Krishna's answer to that. Krishna is saying like this. Yadyadishtadamam loke. You like something in this world, and that's very dear to you. Yachadi priyamalpana. It's very, very, you like something and it's very dear to you. If anything, whatever you like in this world, doesn't matter what it is, give it to me. That's the solution, Krishna's solution. Tattan nivedayan mahyam. If you do that, tada anandaya kalpade, you will reach a very high degree of benefit from that. You will derive from that. That is Krishna's solution to the problem. You can look at that verse in the Bhagavatam. I think it is in the 14th chapter. This verse, Krishna says, after talking about bhakti, he is saying this. He says, don't get caught up in all these things. You like something? You like to give me flowers? Give it to me as much as you want. Give it to me as much as milk as you want. But don't worry about the quality. Give it to me, that is more important. Not, don't keep to yourself. This is Krishna's word. And that is what you have to look. You have to follow what Krishna says, not what society says or the mind says. What Krishna says is more important. Yadyad ishtadamam loke yachadi priyamalpana tattan nivedayan mahyam tada anandaya kalpade. Unlimited happiness will come from that, Krishna says, by offering to me. Because that is what his sharanagati means, isn't it? Surrender to Krishna means. Always that desire to please Krishna, not to use Krishna, rather to please Krishna. Always that desire to please Krishna. Krishna says, if you do that, it will develop the greatest benefit to everyone. That is the way Krishna sees that. It is in, I think it is in the 14th chapter or so, Krishna mentions that. So whatever that is very dear to you, whatever that is you have attachment for, if you are attached to gold, give me the gold. If you are attached to money, give me the money, Krishna is saying. Give me the money. By doing that, you will get the benefit. That is the guarantee what Krishna is saying like that. In other words, instead of using for our own selfishness, offering to Krishna. And that you should not even think about it for using yourself. This is how much Krishna is expecting from a devotee. You should even think about it for using it for yourself. So that is why in the olden days, in the while cooking,
People won't smell the food or taste it and see if it is cooked or not. Nowadays in the restaurants and all, if you look at how they cook food, how many people would have tasted? We are eating their prasadam actually. Those people who are cooking there, it's their prasadam you are eating. We say, oh, it's a first class restaurant, very nice, family atmosphere, this, that and the other. We say, we go and eat there. What actually eating is the prasadam of those who are cooking in that kitchen. Because they would have tasted everything. Whatever they have cooked, they will taste it and see if it's come out okay. And then that's their prasadam that they are coming and serving it to you. That's what you get. So how can you say that those things didn't exist in the past? That because first of all, hotels didn't exist. Everyone either cooked in the temple, ate at the temple or at home. Neither, and people, in the temple there was no question of tasting the food or how, whatever that has been cooked, that is it. You don't taste the food and see if the food is cooked or not. That was not the system. And everything after offering to Krishna, often to the deity, only after that it was eaten. Now, at home, those who have got that samskaram in them, they will follow that. But those who don't have it also, they will consider generally second class to taste the food and to eat after that, to taste food and to off that. So, similarly, not bathing, not wearing fresh clothes and cooking, all that was considered to be not good. And today we say it's all ultra-modern things. You consider it like that. So, who's saying all these things? Who is right? Who will correct all these things? The other people have told us that whatever that the society is following, you have to live with that. You can't go to change all that. As far as bathing is concerned, they're saying like this, that there's rules also. Suppose the tank is very big, your bathing in the tank is better. If that tank is better. Therefore, rivers are considered to be better than the tank. But even some places, there won't be rivers everywhere, isn't it? So there is a tank, you should bathe in the tank. And if the tank is bigger, it is still better. And depending on the quantity of the water that is present there. For example, in the same tank, in one place somebody is bathing, and another place another person is bathing. If you don't get mixed with the water, what you are bathing with that person, that's considered to be purer. Because you don't know with who, others are also bathing in the same tank. But we have developed ultra-modern things, swimming pools and other things. And we think it is the purest of all, isn't it? No, it's not. Actually, from Krishna's viewpoint, that naturally whatever exists, that's always pure, in a natural way. Like the big huge tanks, where it is exposed to the sun, exposed to the rain, and exposed to so many natural things, air, that's pure compared to what is stored. Like we say we change the water in the swimming pool every few hours or so, or every few days, whatever, I don't know. They have their own systems. And they make sure, they take the water from the pool and test it for the quality of the water and all that. That's all fine. But comparatively, Krishna's point is that water that has come, that is why certain birds, they won't even take the water from the tank. They keep their mouth open so that the rain water for the birds, they are even higher than the brahmanas. That the water that comes from the rain, only that they will drink. They won't drink any other water. So they keep their mouth open like this for the water to come into the... That's a bird, crane-like, chakavaram they call it, in that way. So there, Krishna is saying here that karmam is also like that. Krishna is saying, karmam is also like that. According to one's capacity, according to one's knowledge, according to his wealth, the place, and his age, whether he is young or old, all these things has an impact on the karmam, what he is doing, what he is performing also. And these are the factors which decides of a person's pure or impure. For example, all these things requires a little bit of understanding. Like a particular karmam, a brahmana who has been trained in the deity worship for a very long period of time, and who had the proper knowledge of deity worship, and he has done it for a very long period of time, when he does the deity worship, that is different than a young new Brahmana who has come to the deity worship field. His deity worship will not have the same purity as the Brahmana who has done that for many, many years. Why is like that? Because by you can see, his age and his knowledge and his habits all has an influence on his action, on his karma. He has done, provided he has done it properly in his life. If he has done his deity worship very well, obviously you will notice the sattvagunam in him is very high degree of sattvagunam. And because of that sattvagunam, whatever karmam he does is also in sattvagunam. It will have its sattvic effect on that. Whereas another person who hasn't had that training, but he has the knowledge, technically he knows how to do it, but the modes of nature is not there in him. So naturally, because he hasn't done enough for many years, he may have rajogunam or tamogunam in him. So although technically he knows the mantram, technically he knows all the mudra to perform, technically he knows everything what to do, but because he doesn't have the right modes of nature in him, the result will be different. This is the important point. See how result can change? Due to the change in the modes of nature. For example, people think that we are all doing deity worship. So many people are doing deity worship, isn't it? Some way or the other involved in deity worship. But if you ask the question, is all this pleasing to Krishna? Has that pleased to Krishna? Then you may have to look at, that is where these things are important. If you want the deity worship standard to go high, you need people who have that knowledge, who have that realization, and who are in that sattvagunam. Who are in the sattvagunam. Then you will see the worship will also have its benefit from that. Otherwise, externally, everything may look okay. But internally, the result will not be there. It cannot happen. That is the point Krishna is making here. Then, therefore, so just like bathing. If you take, for example, bathing. A healthy person who has got good health and strength in the body, he can go and bathe in the tank. No problem. He has got the health and he has got the strength in him. But if a man who has become very old and sick, and you tell him that you go and bathe in the tank, is that possible? That's not possible, isn't it? But for him, what is his bathing is concerned? For him, Shastram says, he just washes his feet and washes his hands and the face and puts some tilak on the face, he is pure. Shastram is concerned, he is pure. He is as pure as the one who has gone and bathed in the tank. So now you see the problem. This person, because his age and he's sick, he cannot do what the other person, young man, who has got all the strength in his body and the physically fit, he can go and bathe in the tank. This person cannot go and bathe in the tank. Therefore, this person, as long as he washes his feet and the face and hands and the mouth and put some tilak and sit there and chant the holy name, he is pure. He doesn't need to go to the tank to bathe. So again, rules have changed based on the age. So based on the people, it will change. Based on the place, it will change. Based on the vyavaharam, it will change. That is what Krishna is saying. Dharmartham, vyavahartham, yatrartham. If you are traveling, rules will change. Rules change. You can't impose the same. So people who are very attached to these kind of rules, what they used to do in the past was, they will never leave home. They will not go to any other holy place. Why? Because they are not happy to change that nishta. So fixed they are in their steadiness in spiritual life, they say, we don't need to go anywhere. We will live where we are. We will live where we are and we'll follow the rules accordingly. And so that they don't have to break the rule. Being frightened about breaking the rule, they won't go to any holy places. They will find a place somewhere near a temple and they will live near the temple, and they and the temple, that's where their spiritual life is. Between the temple and them. Between them, the spiritual life goes on. Why? Because they know that these are all factors which has its effect on us, no doubt. That therefore, Krishna is saying that, but everybody cannot say that. But various circumstances can come in life. You are forced to leave some place sometimes. Live in another place, isn't it? But even in those situations, Krishna says, yatrartham, vyavahartham, dharmartham. These rules are flexible. They are not tight on that. That is the point Krishna is making there. So we'll stop today. Continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.